Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here, Psychic X Journeyman, Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you guys all doing tonight? Right now, hello everyone, welcome. I want you to call in and get a reading. If you want to call and get a reading right now, just give us a call at 646-721-9031. Okay, for a private reading, please call me at 719-344-8699 or 740-500-8863, or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Call now. We're having a holiday special. If you call me on the phone, it's only going to be $1 a minute for every reading we have. We actually have 90-minute readings, 75-minute readings, and we even got 10 to 15-minute readings. So whichever variations get for you right now for until after the first of the year, they're only going to cost you $1 a minute. So give us a call. We also work with children who have special gifts. And if you don't know how to deal with it, or not really sure exactly how to proceed, we also do that too as well. So if you like to have a session, usually there's a 90-minute session, but this time, you know, usually a 90-minute session is $135. But for the holiday special, you can get that for only $90. And it's one of those situations. It's all worth it because usually, like I've always said before, if you have special children, more likely you have gifts of your own. So it's the ideal. So it's a discovery for both. So definitely give us a call. If anybody in the chat room would like to ask a question and get an answer, please don't hesitate to ask the questions because we also take questions from the chat room. Okay, if you really want to do a reading like we usually do, then you need to call in. All right? Okay, we have some callers in the queue, so we're going to get you in just a minute. We just want to sit there and go over some things and say, hey, you know, it's one of those situations of focusing and that kind of stuff. I always tell everybody in the queue, too, be patient. We do full readings. So therefore, just like we would do in the shop, it gives you an ideal insight. It's exactly what we do. And I don't think two or three questions is going to do that. So we're just trying to be not different, just be who we are and follow through. All right? So let's go to our first caller. That would be area code 812. Welcome to the show. We also have two people in the chat and in the queue who actually have the same area code. So this one here is 812, and the first numbers is all you, is 909. So you're welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
I'm good. My name's Gay.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Evansville, Indiana.
Indiana?
Uh-huh.
That's close where I'm from. I'm actually from Ohio. I'm living in Colorado now, but I used to live in Ohio. So how's the weather out there?
Today it was gorgeous, sunny, and not too cold, so it was a good day.
Kind of wild for December, huh?
Yes.
Hey, it's one of those situations, you know, like we've had some unseasonable weather, but then again, best thing to do is just back and enjoy it. Could be worse. So how can we help you tonight?
Well, I'm not real sure. Do I just ask you a question? Do I?
What's the idea of focusing on? you know, I always tell people, what's the one thing that comes to mind in the process of what you're really wanting some answers for, and then go with that.
Okay, and just ask you, or?
Yeah, just go ahead and ask.
Okay, well, there's actually situations with my mother and some situations with my husband, and I'm just trying to figure out where I need to move on both situations, how I need to handle.
Just focus on your mother first. With the situation in hand, first of all, what's your mother's name?
Betty.
Betty?
Uh-huh.
When you say you need to make a decision, basically I get the impression you're trying to make a decision what direction you should go in with both these situations.
Uh-huh.
Are they also conflict with each other?
I'm sorry?
Are they conflicting with each other?
No. No, they're two totally...
Okay, I'm just saying, they're all happening... Realistically, they're happening at the same time. In some sense, we're just trying to figure out what to do with both of them, okay? So give me a little description about your mother, exactly what you're, you know, when you say that you're trying to figure out what to do with the situation.
Well, I've just always had some tension with my mom, and I'm just trying to figure out if there is something. I mean, we're getting along fine right now, but it's a matter of staying kind of on my toes at all times, having to just be. I just have to watch everything I say.
So you're walking on eggshells, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, the one thing I pick up the most with the situation, there is a similarity between you, the husband and the mother. Okay? When you look at the situation with your mother, you're trying to figure the situation out. You're trying to figure her out.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Okay, first thing, the one thing you need to do is stop trying to figure people out.
Okay.
It's not your job. Everybody thinks we have to figure everybody else out to figure out what we got to do. Not realizing it's simply looking at people, paying attention to the reflection they're giving back about ourselves. And that's what she's doing. She's reflecting back at you, about you. So what you need to do is look at the situation, in some sense of the word, that I'm not saying she's walking in eggshells, but there is an insecurity within both of you that's playing off each other. Why don't you distance yourself from your mom?
Because she's my mom. I love her.
Okay, fine. Let's say it's I'm going to give you a scenario. I'm going to sit here and people might think it's drastic, but it's not. It's the ideal how people treat us. And how much disrespect we give ourselves by keeping ourselves in situations because people carry titles instead of looking at them for what they're doing and their actions. Okay? The ideal dissing yourself and your mother is respect for yourself because of the lack of respect she's giving you. The only way she's ever going to sit there and understand that whole situation within herself is to understand why you do what you did. But if you never do it, she'll never have that realization about herself. So see, you really have to think about these situations, that it's not just helping you in the process of respect for yourself, but by making that decision and dissing yourself and your mother, she will have a realization within her own self to realize what she's been doing to you. So you see, the ideal of trying to understand her, it's not your job. That's her job, to understand herself within herself. That's why she's basically doing what she's doing with her actions towards you. And the only reason she's hurting you is because you're allowing her to do it, because you use the title, she's my mother, so I have to keep in here. But it's just an excuse not to do the right thing, because you're a person, I get really strongly, you don't like hurting people's feelings. But you don't realize through those drastic hurtings, realizations happen that change them in a positive way. So actually you're helping them and helping yourself at the same time to realize it's okay to be assertive, especially in situations of people, because of their actions, is causing you to do something which realistically is the consequences of their actions.
Okay.
So let's look at your father. Okay, I like to get some insight on your husband, because that was kind of funny. The situation with your husband seems to be a drastic situation too, as well.
Yeah.
Could you give us a little insight?
Well, I love him, and I know he loves me, but we've spent 34 years with not a lot of happiness and a lot of fighting and resentment and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, so when you look at your husband, what does he reflect back at you about yourself?
What does he think of me?
No. That's not your job to figure that one out. It's his. I'm saying, what does he reflect back at you about yourself?
See, I guess I'm not quite understanding.
Okay. Every person that you've manifested in your life, you manifested them. But you also, they're also physical manifestations of how you feel about yourself. So when you look at your husband, what does he reflect back at you about you? It's like looking at two people who argue and fight, and you think they don't like each other, when realistically they don't like themselves. So you look at the situation, this goes in the route of resentment. Is it really somebody resenting the other person? Is it really you resenting yourself because of a decision you should have made a long time ago to maybe go into a different direction and walk away from the relationship? So if you look at the situation, the husband and the mother do reflect. They're identical situations of disrespect, except for one's your husband and one's your mother. And when you look at the situation, the reason you're not walking away from these situations is because of who they represent in the idea of loving. Not realizing the situation is pretty much unbalanced because of the idea of not making a decision according to what you want to do, by always making a decision what's best for them, because you don't want to hurt them. A lot of people say, well, I'm not doing what's best for them. If you make a decision to not hurt somebody, you're making a decision based on what their needs are, not yours.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Them keep hurting me, they're
both hurting you.
Worrying about hurting them. Okay.
Yeah, so you won't walk away from the situation, because the first thing you said about your husband was, we love each other. Loving each other is not a good excuse to stay in a relationship. It's the idea of looking at people's actions and how they're treating you, which means, realistically, the only way they're ever going to respect and appreciate what they have, which is in you, is to have not have you, because that's how they're treating you.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the hardest thing to make a decision, but you have to look at these two people realistically in your life. You know, you're feeling unbalanced, and right now you're not really good for yourself. That's the reflection I was trying to get you to see. They're not. The basic thing is not to figure them out. It's the idea of realizing at the state of in their lives they are right now, they're not good for you. When you sit there and come to that realization, these two people are not good for you, there's only one choice to do, is to be good for yourself. And you have to walk away.
I thought about that with him, but I hadn't really thought about that so much.
You have to have faith and trust. You have to let go of these situations and walk away and allow things to happen. Because you're still thinking and making actions through fear that with your actions of walking away from these situations, you're scared to death that you're not going to get what you want. Or the ideal, your mother's going to sit there and disown you. Your husband's not going to go to the other, you know, it's like he's going to walk away and never want to talk to you again. When realistically, the opposite is what's going to happen. But you're not allowing that. You're letting your fear dictate the idea of your actions.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, when you look at the situation spiritually, people go, well, that's kind of like a lot of psychological stuff. It's not. I wish people would go back and look at psychology and metaphysics. If you trace the source back of both these kind of things, you'll find one thing. At one time, they were one and the same. Because when you sit there and start doing things for yourself, you're tapping into your pure soul, your spirit, who you really are. That's what it means to be yourself. Not the physical ego, but to be who you are, which means there are no limitations. There are no things that people do to you. There are things that you allow. So what we're trying to do is look at the situation and have faith, walk away, and allow the realizations that you're wanting to happen. But with you being in the picture, they're not going to have that opportunity to miss you, to realize you don't, you know, the reason you're not there is because of their actions. But if you're constantly there, that'll never happen. So see, sometimes walking away from the situation is the purest spiritual realization for you to understand that when, you know, things happen and these realizations we're looking for and the changes in our lives we're looking for happen when we make a decision of what's best for us and we walk away. And those people start realizing what's best for them, realize how they've been treating you, and they start changing within themselves to be better people. So you see that actions in this situation, not embracing them, because basically that's like condoning. And we've all heard about condoning people, and you know, they just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Because we don't make them deal with the consequences of their actions. If, I mean, realistically, if these two people were strangers, you would have X'd them out of your life the first week.
Yeah.
But since they have titles and you know them, you have a tendency to be more lenient with them. When you should be actually harder with them to realize the connections that you have with these two people, that's what they are. Very powerful connections that if you walk away from the situation, you're allowing those connections to work for you, not against you. Does that make sense?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Because realistically, they do love you, but they're never. But they're so caught up in their own egos.
Oh yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're so caught up in their egos. They know everything. And the bad thing about two people like this who think they know everything, they never learn anything. They don't allow themselves to open up to the possibilities, and maybe they don't know everything. I'll sit here and tell you, I know everything about a certain, every situation I put myself into, but also the same thing, too. The reason I do is because I've gone to the point of saying there were times in my life where I didn't. But instead of sitting there going, okay, I'm a bad person, I just went and found the information. That's the ideal solution. And what you're doing is looking at a situation and going, okay, the best solution here right now, since they're not good for me, is to take myself out of the situation and be good for myself. Because the connection between all these people involved, when you sit there and take a step like that and say, okay, I got to really focus on me, which means you're tapping into your soul and your spirit. You're tapping back into the source again, and you're listening to your intuition, which is actually connects you to your angels, God, and everyone on the spiritual realm. So see, it is a spiritual connection and a spiritual decision that has to be done so these two people can also tap into their true selves, their true spiritual selves, so therefore they can see what they're doing. You can't make them see it. You can't, you know, if you could show them a movie or something, they would still sit there and say, you know something, you're just trying to manipulate me into doing what you want me to do. See? But they don't realize it. Actually, they just describe them.
Yeah.
So let them deal with themselves.
Makes
they do reflect each other. But you bet you couldn't put them in the same room for a minute.
They've always had a little tension.
Well, I'm just saying they have to take a step back and realize what they're doing to you.
Okay. Okay. It makes a lot of sense to me.
So you see how I was trying to point out at the beginning that the two situations did reflect each other?
Yes. Absolutely. I appreciate your help.
All right, welcome. I just want to make sure. What are you going to do now?
Well, I had already been kind of on the verge of deciding with my husband to leave in after the holidays. So I've had several people kind of guiding me in the same way, and I think that's going to be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and with my mom, she's having some health issues right now where I need to be there to help her out.
Mm-hmm.
but I have gotten so I live out of town, away from her, and I don't spend near as much time around her, and I think that helps.
I'm just saying, with the situation, what you need to do with that whole thing, too, is make a business. When you're helping her, make it just like a nurse would. I got responsibilities. I got obligations to do and take care of, and you just sit there and do it just like that.
Okay.
If she comes to a point where she's asking you, why are you being so cold, just say, like attracts like. So it's like one of the situations of looking at a person and say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm coming in here. It's one of those things that's a choice. If you want to sit down and have the conversation at that moment, you know, definitely listen to your intuition when you want to sit down. If you don't want to say nothing, then don't say anything. Just say, I'm here, I'm helping you, and she's not the only person in the world. And yes, she has some issues and stuff like that, but for some reason, I used to get a really strong impression. She needs to stand on her own 2 feet, and half these health issues she brought on herself.
Yeah, she definitely brought her health issues on.
I guess in a situation like this, I would definitely make a choice, and I would probably go in the direction, since in the situation of the husband is really one of where you'd really start first in severing ties right now. But like I was going to say earlier was, when realizations happen and they're actually brought to you, that's when you make the decision.
And I'm sure that
sometimes you got to look at situations of people. Especially, I know people are sitting there going, holidays, what would you do that for? Because those are the strongest realizations. They happen very quickly. They have a tendency to bring around changes quicker. So therefore, if you sit there and made a decision to walk away from the situation now, you probably have more of a chance to actually having a decent conversation with him later on. Because he's had time to realize in the process of, what's that silence? That's you not being there.
Okay.
Of course, it's your choice. I'm just saying the sooner the better.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, it seemed like you had some things to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, mostly timelines, but yeah.
Right. You sit there thinking about it. Yeah, like you said before, these are things that you already thought about doing. It's just now time to follow through.
Yeah, it is. It is time. So I do appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, if you really want to sit down and get a private reading on the situation, I'd love to sit down and work with you. If not, please get back with us and tell us how the situation now things are going with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. You have a happy holidays.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, let's go on to our next caller. I'm going to take another call, and then we're going to check the chat room. So, okay, here we go. I'm trying to sit here and go over this whole thing in my head in the ideal formats of how people don't understand that when realizations happen, they happen at the moment they do, because that's when it's time for you to make a change and a choice and follow through. Just want to sit there and put it out to everybody else. Okay, let's go into our next caller, which is also area code 812. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, this is Cheryl. I'm also from Indiana.
I saw that. So how's it going, Joan?
It's Cheryl.
I'm sorry. We're in a couple with Joan. Anyway, so you say Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay. So how can we help you tonight?
I was just wondering if you could pick up any messages from my angels or guides. I know there's a lot going on and a lot of changes happening in my life. I just need some guidance.
Okay. Would you say you're a person that listens to your guidance?
Well, I mean, I've worked really hard at trying to connect with my angels and guides, and sometimes I feel like I'm doing a good job of it, and other times I'm not sure, you know, if it's me or. And I really would love to be able to connect with them in a stronger way.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the situation, when you want to connect with your angels, It's just the idea of simply connecting. It's the idea, like you said before, sometimes you're good, sometimes you're not. That is a lack of connection with yourself. Okay?
Okay.
So you're sitting here talking about, so we're talking about messages. Messages, the message that keeps coming to me the most is the idea of listening. And the idea of having confidence in what you're hearing. Because it's one of those things, that I guess the easiest way to figure it out is to realize guidance is the very first thing that comes through. And then the ego has a tendency to kick in. If you have fears based on a certain thing, the ego will step in and try to, it's always a negative thing. You know, like you'll make a decision to buy a new car, and all of a sudden you start getting all these thoughts that go through your head. Because it's like you get this really strong one that says, I want to get this car because I can do it. Okay, that's usually guidance coming through saying, yes, have faith in yourself that you can manifest anything you want to in the situation, the money, the opportunities, even the people to work with you. Okay, then the ego kicks in and says, remember last time? See, the ego will play on your fears. Guidance does not. Guidance always taps into you, into an unlimited belief that you can do anything you want, to realize how powerful of a being you are, that basically you have created your life anyway. And it's trying to keep you on that line, in that faith, that whatever situation you get yourself into, even if it's the idea of trying to make a choice between buying the little Debbie's and getting some healthy food. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Guidance would be, you need to get the healthy food, and it would go into the process of all the benefits of what's going to benefit your body and your life and you. The ego would kick in and go, you know something? You know, you should not feed into the fear that you have to keep yourself on a diet. So just go get the freaking brownies. And you know within yourself, you know if you get the little Debbie, you know you're going to nail the whole freaking box. Okay? So what your guidance is, so the guidance says, hey, you know something? It will sit there and say, you know what to do. So therefore, won't you trust yourself? It doesn't feed into any kind of fear what the brownies are going to do to you. Because realistically, if you have that kind of faith, it doesn't matter what you eat. It's just trying to point out that if you're a person that gets migraines or something like that, and it's just a situation, that kind of stuff, you know the healthy food is the best way to go. And guidance would be the first thing that comes and says and tell you that you know what to do. You know, you're a powerful being. You have very powerful intuition, so you listen to yourself. The ego would try to set you down a different road. That's going to probably put you in a situation of migraines and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should never eat the candy. I should have never ate the brownies because now I have migraine. You see.
Well, like at the end of last year, I just felt very strongly that I was in a marriage for 34 years, and we weren't like fighting, but I just knew it was for me to become the person I needed to be, that I needed to let go of that part of my life. But yet here today, I am divorced, but yet he's still in my life a lot. And it's like you said, I don't listen, I guess. I don't know. Or I'm scared or that definite cutoff, you know, of what is it going to be like and if I totally cut that tie. So it's like I can't quite follow through.
Mm-hmm. So you get the situational messages that keep coming through you, says you need to.
Right. Right.
Because it's like guidance will come in and say, hey, you know something, this is the way it works. Anytime you attach yourself to something, it's bad for you. It's a codependency. So your angels and guides are basically pointing things out to you, saying, okay, the reason you need to walk away is to realize that everything that's ever happened in your life is because of something you created.
Okay, yeah.
I told people before, you know, you go work for somebody else. But one thing you have to realize, one thing, that person, that job is not your security. If you don't get out of bed in the morning and go to work, it don't happen. So therefore, we trace it back to the one person who's making those situations work. It's you. Not the,
right.
To the job. To the job, your boss, everybody concerned. Just by having that kind of insight with, you can go to work and tell yourself flat out, if you're in a situation that you're miserable. Your boss is always putting situations in there. He knows how to push your buttons. Everything else, it goes about the whole thing. That is a situation you need to understand that you manifested because of how you feel insecure within yourself. That these people who, sometimes we don't realize that, the people that are picking on us are our physical manifestations that we've created because how insecure we feel within ourselves. Because if you, I guarantee if you look at those people's lives, you can also trace it back to insecurities and why they're doing what they're doing too as well.
Yes. I like that.
We can correct that. So I guarantee you, it's like I tell people, start working within yourself to realize such a powerful person you are. Opportunities will open up to you, and next thing you'll be working somewhere else. Or maybe even take a drastic step and start your own business. Because people don't realize that starting businesses is the same thing as setting intentions out and having all those opportunities come to you to make it happen. They think they have to save all kinds of money up. And really, I know when I started my business, it was just an opportunity that came along that had nothing to do with money. I was just in the right place at the right time. A person wanted me to work with them with what I do. And the next thing I know, we were partners in a freaking business of owning a shop.
Right.
And each one of those opportunities, even the process of, like, an opportunity came along, I started working for her as a reader. Okay, and then a month later, she came to me and says, would you like to be partners? And all you have to do is pay your side of bills. See, there's no money out of pocket. Still in the same situation, but then you've gone from being a person who's just working there to a person who actually owns part of that business just by paying the other side of the bills. There was contracts, and the contracts were done in a certain way, but there was never any money exchanged. There could have been if I really wanted to buy into it, but still, on paper, I was still an owner and a partner. So, see, therefore, we manifested those opportunities. It didn't cost no money. It was just the idea of keeping yourself open, your resistance down, let these opportunities come to you and see them for what they are. Okay? Because you got a lot of things go ahead.
So it's really a matter of having the confidence in myself and the trust that if I cut those ties, if I start doing the things I need to do for me, that everything is going to work out. It's always going to be for the best.
Yeah. We can even trace it back to the Bible. If you look at the situation of things that happened in his life, a tree, birds, they all just live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's taken care of. It's a simple story of saying they just allow things to happen. They don't worry about nothing. Have you ever seen a bird at work working for you? You got a family at home? No, you don't. Opportunities happen. Everything takes. It's like a cycle. And what we've done in the situation of being humans, we've changed the cycle by thinking and feeding into fears of thinking we have to do things. Realistically, I was telling a friend of mine the other day, the beauty about fasting is not the idea of cleaning toxins out of your system, which actually we don't realize these toxins are also interfering with our thinking process and our reasoning and that kind of stuff, so it's important. But it's also puts you into a situation realizing fasting also helps you do one thing too as well, to realize that everything in life is a choice.
Right.
You made a choice. Yeah, you made a choice. I'm not going to eat for 5 days. And you did it. So what it teaches you is you basically created that opportunity in the situation. I've been in the situations too where, I had an apartment about six years when I lived here before. And I remember a couple of times there was just nothing coming in, and I didn't eat for 4 days. And my angels came to me and said, which was very clear. That's one thing, too, about the situation. Fasting clears toxins, so therefore you enhance your psychic abilities, your spiritual abilities. So I'm hearing my angels sit there and say, hey, you know something? You didn't eat for 4 days, but you've been looking for an opportunity to experience fasting. He just fasted for 4 days. So what they were doing was they were showing me that the reason we have a tendency to manifest negative lives is because we're always focusing in more on those instead of looking at the situation like that and realize those are different. If you put a different title on it, you have a different outcome. So instead of saying I was starving for 4 days, which probably would attract in more situations of being more starving or maybe lack of food. But as soon as I looked at it as a situation of fasting, a friend of mine called me up and said, I owe you a lot of money, and I know that. So could I possibly call a place in your area and have you food sent to you for the equivalence of doing a reading for me, which I need one right now again. And I was like, fasting seems to also clear out blocks.
Because
The next thing I know, I actually had more food than I could deal with. People sending me pizzas and all kinds of good stuff, where I was actually looking for different places, like, okay, let's try Subway, because I'm trying a pizza. You know, things like that. So it was like opening the door of realizing that compensation can come in many ways, instead of like getting mad because someone won't give you any money for a reading. When it's kind of funny how when you suggest trade out, they seem to all be very open to that. So it was just another opportunity, but it was also a situation that it was the solution. So you see what I'm saying? You've had a solution that you just need to follow through with.
Okay. Yeah, and I know that. Deep down I know it, and I guess I just needed some confirmation there. But I just have to trust myself. I know I do, so. And have complete faith, so. Well, thank you for the reading.
Yeah, as soon as you start letting go of a lot of things, you're going to see a lot of things happen.
Yeah.
Positive things, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give us a call to help all better, right?
I sure will. Thank
you. All right.
Bye.
Well, thank you for calling in. You have a fantastic holiday. And
you too.
Bye-bye now.
Goodbye.
All right, let's go into our next caller, which is area code 661. Hello. How are you, and what's your name?
Hi, Donnie. It's Terry. How are you? Can you
say
hear
it again?
Me?
Who?
Terry, right?
Oh, Karen.
No, Terry, right?
No, this phone is driving me freaking nuts over this connection.
Donnie.
Okay.
It's Terry. Bright.
Terry.
Yeah, Terry Bright.
And you calling from where?
PA.
Oh, okay, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. No, that's nice. But the last couple of days have been kind of like my mind has been pulled somewhere else.
Where's it going?
Good question.
I read for you last week. You read for me.
Okay, so you're on Skype, right?
Yes.
So realistically, instead of like what I just said, you said Terry, right?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
That's
okay. It seems distorted a little bit, that's all.
Maybe I'm distorted.
Interesting.
So what?
I'm just saying interesting. You know, it's the idea of situations, perceptions, and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm jumping back and forth. Let's see, I got Skype, the chat room, and the queue.
You're busy.
I was like, phew. I have a friend of mine who was having some problems, and then she kind of fell off the grid, too. I'm like, what the heck happened? That's one of the situations of people understanding one thing, and gosh, you know, it's amazing, the drama. I'm serious. I'm sitting here talking to some lady, and she's saying some guy hacked into her stuff. And she said she didn't think about it until the guy called her on her cell phone. And I was like, okay, what's up with that? She goes, nobody knows his number but me. But he still called her on that number.
No.
And I was like, okay, disrespect. And then I sit there and said, okay. You know, she's like, is this over between me and him? I'm like, no, but it should be in the process of making the decision to cut the ties, period. You know, you're sitting, so people have a bad habit of trying to figure people out. And realistically, it's not your job to figure them out. It's their own job.
Yeah.
I always tell people, you want to be a friend, you want to be a sister, you want to be a girlfriend, you want to be a wife, then be them. But when you start trying to figure people out, you just became a therapist. Okay, we have people do that. And they need to go to those people.
Yeah.
You know, say they were psychics and stuff like that, do relationship counseling and focusing on situations, you know. and that's what I do. But see, what I try not to do is I don't try to figure people out anymore, okay, in the situation of my personal life, to realize one thing and one thing only. If they're not good for you, that's all you need to know. And on that situation, coming up with that assessment means you need to make a decision. If they're not good for you, there's only one decision to make. Because we always use the affirmation that says, every good thing I desire comes to me. If it doesn't come to me, then it's not good for me. Doesn't mean it never will be, but at the time you came up with the assessment and the decision, it's obvious they're not. So when you sit here and think about the affirmation itself, saying every good thing comes to me, this could explain the difficulties in the situation, the drama. And all they're doing is showing you how they're not good for you. And that's simple. As simple as that. People want to make things complicated. That's because they think they're complicated situations, and they want to make them complicated because it makes them feel important. Not realizing at that moment, you're just telling me one thing, how important you don't feel within yourself.
Okay.
If you want to argue, call in now, we'll talk about it. I'm pretty stern about things and saying, hey, this is the way it is. And that's what I was saying. You know, it's like I had a lady hang up on me today, and it's like, okay. We could sit there and say, because we're sitting here talking about this, lady hangs up on me. I'm like, okay. I could say that she's not ready to hear what I got to say. But realistically, mm-hmm. she is.
But she doesn't want to admit it.
Right. So she don't want to admit that she's ready to hear what I just said. Because she's like, okay, how's he feel about me? If you don't know, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you're all sitting there telling me about these connections and bonds that you have with these people. But then again, on the other aspect of the whole thing, you're sitting there going, well, how does he feel about me? Isn't that like a contradiction? You should know this. Because these freaking connections and bonds are actually phone lines of communication. And if you listen to yourself, okay,
mm-hmm.
do that work and focus on you, listen to your heart, the one thing will happen in the process of continuing to listen to your heart, you will feel the truth. But after a while, you will illuminate your mind because you continually keep doing this. You not only feel the truth, you also see it. Also,
okay.
the process of these truths and focusing on this, on your heart, realistically what you're tapping into is your true spiritual self. And the process of connecting with that kind of spirituality, it's more than likely if you're listening to yourself that exclusively, you're listening to your angels and guides. You don't need to see them, okay? Because we're beings that actually work on a feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That frequency of being happy, and if you ever get yourself to a point where your frequency is really high, you also feel like you're walking. You're like you can walk on air, and that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Of really connecting to your angels and guides and your spiritual self. That your vibration's that high, and more likely you're having a really good day. And you're attracting everything you've ever wanted to. Okay? And that's the thing. You know, people, if you're going to sit there and be depressed, if you're going to be sad, if you're going to be unhappy, if you're going to be negative, and you wonder how come your life keeps getting, you know, my life's not getting any worse. It's not getting better either. That's because you're in a spot where, so you need to go back to a happy moment, visualize and feel that, you know? When your kid was born, just whatever it was, to get that vibration up, and you'll start realizing that keeping yourself in that kind of state of depression, that kind of stuff, and rehashing things in a negative way, it's not producing anything except for sometimes more anxiety within yourself that you think you're never going to get out of it. That's why I was trying to focus on the situation. If you think about it, in those situations of figuring people out, and finding out in the process that the person might have an affair, a girlfriend, and all these things, you see how they feed into more of you feeling bad about yourself? So the idea of figuring people out can actually work against you. So you can see how non-productive it is.
Yeah.
But we also know for a fact that when you work on yourself, you focus on your heart, you focus on your wants, needs, and desires, and, I mean, I think it's crucially important to talk to people, too, and say, you know something? What are your wants, needs, and desires? Not what the world says. And it's kind of amazing when you talk to Christians. I talk to my mom and certain people that are Christians, okay? I heard this from my mom's mouth one day, and it kind of freaked me out when she said, you know, if you bought a car, your daughter would probably have more respect for you. And I was like, Mom, I've been traveling for the last 3 years. And the idea of having a car, first of all, would be non-productive because I was either on a plane, on a bus, or on a train. There was a couple times where I was actually working with clients and flying across the country to work with those people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what first thing I didn't have to do is pay parking at the airport. You know? I paid one fee to a taxi cab and didn't have to deal with any kind of freaking maintenance on that freaking car.
Yeah.
And did you realize one thing, too? If you're really not in a good place in your life, do you realize your car also reflects how you feel about yourself? So if you have a car that's got problems all the time, you should look within yourself, too, and ask yourself, how does this car reflect me? You know, I'm not saying you have trouble with your water pump, but having always to work on a car also reflects where you're at in your life at that time, too, as well, of making a decision out of fear that someone said you need to do this. And then you start thinking back, because I've heard people say this before and over again. I got this freaking car. I was talking to buying this. I was talking to doing this. And you know something? You wasn't talking to doing anything. You allowed your fears to manifest into reality. It just came through somebody else who made it sound so important that you had to do this. Like the situation with my mom. I could have fed into that whole thing and went out and bought a car. I guarantee you, I probably would have bought something that was just a piece of shit. Because I just felt like at that moment, I just said, no, I don't believe that. I believe my daughter should have respect for me no matter what I got. Because I am who I am. Okay? But back in, when I was living a past life, and I was living in freaking Egypt, I didn't have a car, but my daughter respected me. Probably because I was a powerful person at that moment. But, you know, but still, the idea of one's power also reflects one's belief in oneself. So you see, the situation is, I walked away from that situation with my mom and said, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay? I allowed myself to feed into my strength that day and make a decision, just like I usually do, which a lot of people have a tough time with. So if you're out there and people are sitting there saying, people have a lot of time, have a hard time dealing with you because you have, I don't know, you're an adult and you have a tendency to make decisions of what's best for you, stick to your guns because you're in the right, you're on the right path. It's just these other people have never done that realistically, so it's kind of foreign to them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you were speaking earlier about the lady and her mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walked away from my mother probably.
Yeah, but you hear what I said? Because everybody's talking about the, you know, this is what we do in psychic readings, right? I already knew the connection between the two was very, it was almost the same. It was just two different people. That's what I told her. She said, no, they're two different situations. You notice after we sit there and got done with the session, she finally realized that they were both one and the same.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you, too, to walk away from your mother?
Very. Very.
Right. But it was also decisions you knew you had to make, right?
Yes. And I had tried a couple times, but she, her thing is, I have to admit that I lied. And I said, I didn't lie. If I would have lied, I would admit that I lied. But I didn't lie. So I know that she's sick. But I can't take the blame anymore. I've done it too many times. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, some people don't realize in the situation the realizations that happen within people when you know, make a decision to respect yourself. We had a situation where a lady, I did a reading for a lady. She called me for her husband was dying of cancer. And he got to a point where he said, I want you to leave me alone. I want nothing, you know, basically he started treating her like crap. And it was his way of centering. Yeah, he wanted to push her away because he didn't want her to see him die.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of stuff going on. So she came to me and she goes, what should I do? I said, give what he wants. She goes, what do you mean? I said, listen to you. Your fears are playing out here. Okay? You've got to stop feeding into fear. The guy says he doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want nothing to do with you. He doesn't want to see you. He doesn't want you to see him die. Okay? And she goes, yeah, but what's going to happen? I said, okay, dear, this is what's going to happen. I'll give you the first part of the whole thing. when you walk away and leave him alone, don't be surprised if he calls you back and begs you to come back, because he doesn't want to die alone.
Correct.
It was about 5 days, and he called her up and told her he needed her back now. And she was like, I never saw that happening. I thought, you know, that if I walked away, then he would really not respect me no more, and that wouldn't have nothing to do with me. She actually got the opposite.
Yeah.
So we make these really hard decisions, but they have some really major positive outcomes to him when we do. That's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
How about your situation? So what was the positive outcome there?
With my mother?
Yes.
I'm not being put down. I'm not being told, do you know how many times I wish I would have never had you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't deal with that every time I talk to her, you know.
Right. How do you feel about yourself now? Just because of the decision you made. Don't you realize that the decision that you made was one of the best decisions you ever made?
I didn't look at it for myself. I looked at it, what I did for my kids. My kids weren't around that. My kids weren't being around that. For myself.
True too, I was just going to say, with the situation at hand too, you
mm-hmm.
made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good for you, which reflected with your outer world. Everybody else was also affected in a very positive way.
Yes.
Well, certain things that wasn't being subjected to them. That's what I was trying to say. I understand why you made the decision, but still, you made the decision.
Yes.
So it still helped you, it helped them, helped everybody, and helped her.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
It's kind of hard to look at these situations sometimes and go, okay, I did something for myself. But see, you know something?
Yeah.
You got to, because like your children are, and that's what you need to realize too, children are extensions of us.
Mm-hmm.
So when she was treating you like crap, it was because of how much, it was basically reflecting how she doesn't like herself. So she was basically venting on everybody else that reminded her.
Of her.
That's why she treated the way she did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's okay with me because I figure, you know, I mean, I had always been treated that way, so.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was time, you know. I was now an adult and on my own, and I need to just walk away and stay away. She lives like 3 miles from me.
Yeah, and the same thing too. You have to realize too. You brought a big realization within herself, which was a positive thing. Changed within her to realize that what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't making her feel any better either. It was just adding to the guilt.
Yeah.
And then the decision you made, you did something totally different than your mom did. Your mom decided to feed into her unworthiness and treated you the way she did.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually said you made a decision in a different way because of your children.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a freaking reflection, not just the ideal of the decision you made for yourself. That's what I was trying to say before. When you made that decision, you made a decision because you didn't want your children subjected to it anymore.
Yes.
It also resonated with her too, and the gravity and the depth of what she was doing to you because of the positive energy that you gave off in the process of saying, well, my children are not going to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she couldn't do that, you know, but now...
She's not going to do it to my kids. She did it to me, but she's not doing it to my kids.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is
she couldn't
make a decision to not treat her kid that way because of what she'd been through. But see, you didn't do that. You decided that you didn't want your kids to be subjected to that, which is a decision she never had. She never had the backbone to do, but you did. That also resonated with her too. Really, that was showing her the depth of what she was doing to you. Because how you feel and care about your kids.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah. I have a question.
Sure.
Do you see me walking?
Huh?
Do you see me walking soon?
Do I see you working?
Soon.
Let's see. Mhm. Now I was trying to get everybody in the chat room to call in. I don't care who you are. Just call in and just talk.
Yeah, I'll
get some insights.
No,
no, no, I understand, but I'm trying to focus on 64. I think I still get the impression with you working after the first year, but you said you also had some things going on, too, that you want to get away from where you're at.
Well, I can, but here's the thing. I put in for a state job.
A state job?
Yes. If I get the state job, I can move out of here. I don't have to leave state right away.
Right.
I'd love to have that state job. I just mailed the papers in earlier this week. I got them this week, and I mailed them in this week.
Hmm. People are freaking out.
Why?
I was reading as well. It's a lot of energy is coming in with this alignment of the planets, where it's kicking someone's butt. You know, I say, I want everybody to do this. It's the idea of looking at the energy that's created by alignments and utilizing it to actually manifest what you want.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. Same thing with the moon energy. People don't realize if you sit there and work with the moon energy as it's going into the full moon, you can actually also utilize it for manifestation too as well by putting more energy into those manifestations. Instead of allowing the full moon to go boom, and then here you are freaking out going, okay, the energy is taking me over. It's like, okay, stop playing the victim and start tapping into the strengths of your abilities. That's what they're there for, to improve on your life, not to make you feel like you got to hide. I mean, when I get migraines, that's a different story. I mean, I have to consider, certain things, but I've also found ways to actually counteract that too as well, of realizing, because I always tell people, you can take the freaking medication, but all you're doing is masking the situation that you could actually learn from and find the core of why it happens to you. Because realistically, with the emotional things you're going through, if they're not dealt with, they have a tendency to manifest physical ailments.
Yes, they do.
So if you have, if you have a big ass, there's a good chance it's also reflecting to you of how you don't like yourself. So the situation, it might sound crazy, but then your butt's gotten bigger because you're feeding more into it. Because I was telling a friend of mine, I said, you want to lose weight? And she goes, yeah. Then you focus on the weight that you want to be at, not the 50 pounds you want to lose. Because if you keep focusing on the 50 pounds, your weight will fluctuate.
Mm-hmm.
But when you focus on the weight you want to be at, you're focusing on a number. Right, you're focusing on that, which is really the foundation. So if you look at a person who has a fat ass, I hate to say it that way, but I'm just saying, that's where your root chakra is. So you're not secure with yourself. Right. Well, I get crazy when people sit there and say, I love myself, but then they don't like their butt. That's a contradiction. They don't love themselves unconditionally because their butt's part of them.
one way I lost weight was that I would lay in bed and I would visualize, and everybody can laugh if they want, but I would visualize Pac-Man, people like lined up and going down my belly, eating the fat down my legs, up my butt, the whole way down my body and up my body, and eating the fat.
Hmm.
And I visualize that every night.
And how'd it work?
Yep. Real good. Got into a size 4.
Yeah, because I've seen the same thing with exercise and people talking and stuff. We had a guy come in the gym, and all he could focus on nothing but seeing himself the way he was when he walked in the gym. And every time he walked in to work out, he still saw himself the same way. Plus, he never changed anything in his life. He didn't stop drinking. He didn't stop doing nothing. And people were like, "Hey, you been working out?" And that kind of stuff. Yeah. You look the same way you did when you walked in here 6 months ago. You know, but so his perception
never changed himself.
Yeah, yeah. So his perception, since it didn't change, nothing else changed.
Yeah.
I sit there and use visualization with the energy thing that people were talking about in the chat room. Okay, there was there's a scene in Iron Man and the Avengers. Okay, he's fighting Thor, and Thor hits him with this freaking bolt of lightning. Okay, mm-hmm. He's thinking that it's going to destroy his suit, right? But the suit absorbed it. So he was actually, so next time he was at, you know, capability instead of 100%, he was at 400%. So he utilized the energy and knocked Thor on his ass, okay? Now, you can look at that as if you look at an analogy of what you can do with energy, when you're getting hit with a lot of energy, it's the ideal of it's an experience and an opportunity to see what you can actually, how powerful are you? Okay? So that's basically what Iron Man did. He had 400% of energy, so he decided, instead of sitting here going, okay, maybe my suit will blow up, he said, well, okay, and just zapped, you know, utilized it and sent it back where it came from. But it was like the idea of taking all that in, you know? And also, if you look at the idea of Iron Man anyway, it's an external suit that protects the body. So you can take that energy within yourself, okay, and realize you can't be touched as a spiritual being. But you can take that energy within your body, and it will be able to utilize all that energy. It's just the ideal that we have a tendency to tap into our mental, or our perception looks at the body itself as weak. So we look at energy as being overpowering when we don't realize it could actually use the same energy to strengthen our bodies, to tap into our abilities, and maybe our abilities would be off the scale of accuracy. And the idea, I had a friend of mine freak out the first time she saw me reach up to get a piece of, I had a cable. I had a speaker wire hanging from a light, one of those lights you got to click on.
Yes.
And she freaked out when I reached out and the metal came to me. Okay, but it was one of those things to realize with energy, you can utilize, you can absorb it, but you can also project it. So the idea of drawing things to you, you can also push things away.
Yes.
So it's the idea of realizing, why do we have this energy? It's at our disposal to do what we want with it. So therefore, what can you do with it? You know,
you
the ideal opportunity. Yeah.
And see, this job, I feel this job is mine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start, and I'm going to make good money, and I'm going to love the job.
Yeah. All this energy and stuff can give us exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. They were talking about 2012 and December 21st. It's the ideal of change of perception. Then it makes perfect sense if we have a planet aligning with powerful energy. Is it the world ending or just a...
It's shifting. People are becoming more aware.
Yeah, so when they sit here and say one phase ends and another begins, which means the ideal of limited mind or closed-mindedness ends in favor of open-mindedness and the possibilities of what we can do. And
yes.
If you utilize it, too.
Yes. And we're going to use, I think we're going to have more people. Now, I will tell you that I had a friend who would say, read me cards, I want to know. And then I did do cards for her, and she told me that I was going to hell. And she was going to pray for me. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe in hell, so ha!
Right.
And she told
me
that.
I always tell people different perceptions. You know, they sit there and said, okay, you're going to hell, the devil. And when you say you don't believe in those things, I always correct them and say, okay, well, I'll rephrase it. Okay, they exist, but I don't believe in going there. I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in that whole thing. I said, you can only focus on one or the other.
These are
God given talents. It seems like you guys are trying
talents.
To be both. Huh?
These are God given talents. You know,
I used to see things,
but they don't see it as God given talents. I mean,
that's true too, but the first time when somebody sits there and says anything to you like that, it's judgmental, which is a contradiction of what they're trying to say.
Yes, because you're not the judge.
Yeah, it's one of the situations of, to take us back a step and go, okay, my friend brought this up one day when she was talking about, you know, when God created the flood and it killed all these people. She was like, you could put God in the category of being a mass murderer. And I said, not really, because basically what happened to those people, they were warned. And also their actions and the consequences of those actions caused the outcome.
Yes.
God was just the messenger or the catalyst that actually brought it forth. But they created
yes.
it. It's like those things in New York and New Orleans. You know, if you sort of look at those situations and look at those places of people bragging about how negative and just bragging about certain things. I mean, the idea mm-hmm. of having hurricanes, which is water, which is cleansing, that took this mm-hmm. place. And a friend of mine was also saying that they were talking about after these things happened to these places, the New Orleans Saints won?
Yes.
Won a championship or something. And then the idea of the New York Giants. It seems like a lot of things happen for these teams in a positive way because of certain things that happen, as we call cleansing.
To bring them together as one.
Exactly. So when you sit and look at the situation, you know, if you look at Noah, the reason Noah survived is because that family pulled together in the crisis.
Yes.
So therefore, you know, we could look at the situation any way you want to, but, you know, the mass murdering thing, you know, when you look at the situations of why those places were destroyed, it's because of the mass sinning that was going on. Okay, we mm-hmm. always know that when you do bad things, and this is a proof, people want to know that, does karma exist? Well,
yeah.
If we could actually talk to a couple of souls, that when the world ended in a big flood, or Sodom and Gomorrah, and we could talk to these people, do you believe karma exists? I bet you would say, oh, yeah. You know, when you
we
do something,
it comes
they didn't
back,
learn.
I'm
sorry.
People don't always get to see did them wrong get the karma back, but they get it.
Oh, yeah, because we sit and look at the situation of, I even saw another account of Noah's Ark, where mm-hmm. you got Noah doing his old thing, and then there's another dude who's an inventor, invents which I thought was so freaking weird. He invented a device where he could actually scoot around the water. But if you read the Bible correctly, basically it was a storm that went on for a long time that flooded the earth. A storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if he was in the protection of the ark, which I feel like the reason, and they've been proving this too, if you go by the measurements and everything else and how the ark was actually built the way described in the Bible, then when you make a replica of that ark, no matter what hits it, storm-wise or whatever, it will not capsize.
Oh.
Okay, so when then you sort of take the combination of God telling Noah how to build this ark that can't be capsized, can't be harmed, to protect the people on the side, with the faith that they had too as well, I'm sure all those factors contributed to why they were so successful and why it happened the way it did. So anybody outside that realm who didn't believe, and if you sit and read the Bible too, Noah's telling everybody, you know, the world's going to end. It's going to be a great flood. Nobody believed him. So when we look at the situation, Noah's working on faith. He's also listening to his guidance. In the Bible, do we think that God was actually talking to those people from a big voice from the sky? Or was it intuition? Was it guidance? Well, they were hearing these things because nobody else heard it. But they could have. That's the thing. They could have heard it, but they wasn't listening. That's why they perished.
Yeah.
Because that's why they had such sinful lives, because they wasn't listening. Okay, so when you look at the situation of Sodom and Gomorrah, we can look at the situation too the same way. In that situation, in that section, God and Lot are actually bargaining, negotiating. Okay, so is God really what people portray him to be, as this thing is going to come down and go slang? Okay? He didn't. In these situations, he gave people a chance. He also gave them a messenger to also guide them out of the situation, which they didn't listen to, so therefore they perished. The same as Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the situation there, and God, Lot's sinner going, if I can find so many people who are, you know, holy, will you spare? And God said yes. And as it goes through the thing, yeah, I think it started off with 20, and then it went down to 10, and went down to 5, I think it might have even gone down to one. If I can find one person, will you spare the city? And God said, yes, he would. So therefore, he's looking, I mean, we look at the situation, God's going, okay, if one person can be found, then I'll spare the city. So therefore, it's almost like he's looking for that, because he doesn't want to do it. This would give us insights to both these stories, where God is, you know, he's wanting to give these people a chance, like a father would. But at the same time, we've all been in a situation with our own children. We just had to finally just cut them loose because of their consequences of their actions. And that's exactly what happened here. So when you look at the situation, I guess that's the reason I have such a hard time with certain Christians who always want to sit there and portray that we are separate than God. And they look at those situations, even in the Bible itself, tells us otherwise. Because he's looking, he loves his children, so therefore when he looks at the situation, he doesn't want to do it, but they don't give him any other choice. But it was brought on by their actions and their actions alone. So therefore, we look at the situation, one thing of taking 100% accountability for our own lives.
Yeah.
You'll see in this situation, like Noah. Noah takes 100% accountability for his life because he listened to the guidance and did what he knew he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of his actions, not only did he save himself, he saved his family and their families. And I guarantee you, if people would have came to that ark and said that, you know, they thought, if they would have came to him, not the day that it happened, because the day it happened, I'm pretty sure their actions are more dictated by their fears than their actual realization, okay? But if they would have came to him 3 or 4 days earlier and said, you know, hey, I think you're right. You have the right to do what you do. Or just the idea, they listened to the guidance. I don't think guidance was cut off to these people. I think it was cut off because of their actions and what they were doing. They couldn't hear it. But if they would have changed their lives in some sense, or they would have heard that guidance themselves, and they would have knew they had to be there.
Yes.
I mean, because when Sodom and Gomorrah, the story goes, there was nobody found, so therefore the city is going to be destroyed. But God also said, in the guidance he gave Lot, I want you to get everything and go and don't look back. Now, in the situation, this insert, it's the ideal of making a decision and walking away completely. Therefore, you don't have to look back because you already know what's there. That's why Lot's wife was turned to salt, because she couldn't allow herself to let go completely. So the consequences of her action turned her into salt. Why? I think salt is a good way of getting rid of evil. Negativity in your house. You can get a glass of salt water and put it. Yes, we use salt to clear negativity. So let's look at the situation of the inserts, okay? That God turned this lady into salt as a purification to help Lot and the rest of them realize why they needed to go. Because it's separating them from the negativity and the positive decision to move forward. You see how the salt really makes a lot of sense? As in a cleansing. That the reason she was turned that way, because she was not in pure thought. She was not in pure love, because she was still longing for that life. That's why she turned around. Because if you notice in the situation, realistically, nobody else did. But it's kind of funny how it turned into a pillar of salt. Salt blocks you from
negativity, evil,
and negativity.
Yeah,
here you go. People are going, okay, hello.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure people are going to go, okay, they're going to look at the Bible the same way again. Anyway.
I put salt crosses on every window in my house.
Huh.
Because I still have a problem with a neighbor. And he's, you know, staring, watching, you know. He worries about what we're doing because he did wrong to us. But the whole thing is, we're not going to get even.
Right.
We're just letting go. And, you know, because I had said way before he even did what he did the last time that I wanted nothing to do with him. I wanted nothing. I didn't want him around. I didn't want to be around him. and it was my husband's friend, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have the right to tell him not to be friends with him.
Right.
And then he went and he did this to my husband, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I look out my window one day, and I see him sitting in the woods staring at my house. And I'm the only one home. And he was on my property.
That can be freaking itself, huh?
Yeah. But I'm a little tougher than he may think.
Mm-hmm.
And not as fearful as he may think. So, you know, he's not going to scare me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's like the main reason I want to move is because I'm here all day by myself. You know, I just decided that this job would be the perfect job for me in the field I want.
That's right.
And I'm going to just, that's what I'm going after. That's what I'm getting.
I'm going to take a pause here real quick,
okay.
If you don't mind.
No.
I'm going to cut you off. But I was going to take a pause real quick, and the idea to say, hey, if you all want to give a call in here to get a reading, please do so. We do full readings. All you got to do is call us at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. Kind of come on that one. And if you also want to get a private reading, just give us a call at 719-344-8699 or 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Call now for the holiday season. It's only $1 a minute for every reading we do. Even the 90-minute sessions, which are usually $135, it's only $1 a minute. So give us a call. We'd be glad to sit down and work with you because there's a lot of things you really can't do here on the shows and privacy. And we do full readings here, so therefore when you come in, I guess to give people some insight to the situation, it's best to start off with a question. Or I'm used to everybody coming to me, and they already have a situation they're trying to get some insight on. So whatever resonates with you that comes to the surface, I guarantee that's the one thing you should be focusing on and getting the answers for. Because that's the one thing that's bugging you the most. There's a reason for it, because it probably has a lot to do with dealing with that one situation. Probably opens the door to more positive things happening in other parts of your life, too, as well. Because I've noticed it before, when people have a lot of guilt and stuff, they have a tendency to not let go of. But then when they do let go of it, it's amazing how they seem to attract more prosperity, opportunities, money, and stuff like that into their lives. It's because we don't realize, and the idea of focusing and hanging on to baggage, and the baggage, the things that we've gone through and that kind of stuff makes us feel less worthy. So in the process of feeling less worthy, we have a hard time attracting the things that we really want, need, desire to us, as in the idea of money, because we don't think we're worthy of it. Doesn't matter if it's consciously, subconsciously, it's all working against us. So therefore, in the process of really doing some forgiveness work, not just the idea of forgiving other people, but forgiving yourself, and also letting go of that baggage, you'll realize by letting go of the baggage, it's occupying a space that could be open to more of the things you really want into your life. I was actually focusing. Anybody want to ask it? Whoa! That was kind of scary. All right. I'm going to take a break for a minute, and I want you all to listen to this nice little tune called The Grand Illusion. We'll be right back. time. Thinking of not crazy when they have the music like that, because, you know, I guess we're coming back anyway, aren't we? Well, this is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio. I'm your host. How you doing? So if you just tuned in, we were taking a break. I've always played that one song for you with some of the people in the situation, which was kind of funny. A girlfriend just called me and talked about a situation she was in, about a guy who, about living together and that kind of stuff. And it's just kind of funny how people have a tendency to present themselves in a certain way. But she had definitely still have to question. So when you sit and look at the situations of the grand illusion, it's the ideal of what's been presented to you and how real it is. And the way you can really determine that is by looking at the person and how real they're being with you. All right? So let's take that into consideration, too. So, because it's the biggest thing. You see people, like, I actually saw Styx in concert, and they were talking about the ideal. And when you're watching television, you see the commercials, you see the situations, the, you know, the cars and the perfect wives, it's all bullshit. And it's amazing how many people feed into that, of thinking they can have those kind of lives. So therefore, they're basically focusing too much on what the world is dictating to them as a success, when actually they should be taking a step back and detecting, you know, what does success mean to you? Because it does mean a lot of different things to different people. You know, some people think that success is just the ideal of having a successful day without running over anybody. And other people think you're going to take on a wider scan of success, of having the perfect job, the perfect family. And I think it's a situation, too, that in some sense the word, world, in no sense of the word, the world is portraying to us that there is such thing as perfection, which is a truth. I mean, you look at the situation. The one thing I don't like about it, I'm not trying to bash Christians or anything like that, it just seems that the people I talk to, the one thing they keep focusing on is how unworthy you are. I look at the Bible, and the Bible talks about a lot of things, and the ideal of trying to project, of you focusing on who you really are. So therefore, that's a contradiction. Because as far as I know, we are all descendants from Adam. And Adam was a perfect being. It wasn't until he ate of the tree and his perception of himself told him otherwise. And the situation of the Bible talking about where God said, you know, Eve, you will now have birth. And I like that freaking line because it actually indicates this too. If you think about it, that you're now going to have childbirth, but it's going to be basically a painful thing. Does it also imply that childbirth was still was going on? But now you're going to have that in the process of pain? Okay, other things too. And I think what was going on, when you really look at the situation, I don't think God was condemning them. I think he was showing them that by eating the tree and knowing what good and evil was, now there's duality. There's two sides to the coin. When before there wasn't, it was just perfection. Perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect. We know Eve was perfect too because she was actually cut from Adam, literally. Okay, so therefore, coming from a perfect being, Adam and Eve were a perfect couple. And the process of perception, also perfection, what we're all looking for in the perfect couple. But the biggest thing that's working against us is our perception of the latter part than the first part. To realize in the process of as people call it, reality, the reality part is that Adam and Eve were perfect. So therefore, the idea of having the perfect relationship does exist, and being perfect peace people does exist as well. And Jesus came back and proved that because he was also in human form, and he was also perfect as well. So the idea of saying we can't be perfect, I'm telling you, Christians, you're full of shit. Because it says in the Bible that Jesus came in perfect form. He was a perfect human. He never sinned. So therefore, saying we can never, we're born in sin. Of course, Jesus was born in a different way that was actually between God and what was her name again? God, I'm blank. Mary, yeah. Thank you. Mary. But it was still, you know, it was still a birth. He was born on this planet. He might have been conceived in a different way, but was he really? Is it really different than two human beings getting together and creating an energy that creates life? Doesn't it also give us the input of how powerful we really are and the ideal that just like God, we can create life? It's the ideal. It shows us the ideal of man and woman and woman and man and the process of both sides of God. You know, so we were talking before about the ideal that the one thing we have a problem with some people who talk about the goddess, that's all they talk about. And we know for a fact there has to be a sperm donor or you don't have anything. So the idea you can, I'm not knocking and saying that the goddess doesn't exist, but God does too as well in the process of creating life. I still feel like the ideal of the goddess and God being separate, don't believe it, because actually the truth, if you look at the human body itself, the human body actually produces male and female hormones both. Okay, so therefore the liver filters out one in favor of the other of creation. But you still need both to do that. So I would sit here and say the reason I would look at the situation of people being gay is not being being normal is because you can't create life. And if you really look at their lives, it also reflects the insecurities within themselves because all they have is drama. Now, there's good. Actually, if you look at the situation of drama does exist in everyone's lives. But in the process of focusing on drama in a positive way, people have positive lives, which means they don't have boring lives. They have drama. It's all good. But the people who feed into the negative part, too, as well, also have drama that continues as well. So we sit here and say, change your perception, change your life, and the idea of the kind of drama you want to experience. I mean, so you look at movies. That's a drama that has a happy outcome. How come we can't focus on that manifestation, huh? We always focus on, nope, more bad stuff coming. And we can't. Did you talk to a Christian today? Well, he really screwed your life up. Anyway, did he tell you that, you know, you're never going to, it's like looking at the situation for what it really is. I mean, I have a hard time with some of the things, okay? I mean, you go to church and the guy goes, touch this, get this cloth. It's blessed and it will bless you. Why can't you just go to the source and get blessed as well by asking God to bless you? How you know you haven't been already blessed? It's the ideal self. The idea of the word self-acceptance could be just that. You're a perfect being who can manifest anything you want. You don't need to listen to some dumbass on the stage dancing across the stage with a freaking tambourine saying, God lives. Don't you just listen to your own guidance and know for a fact he does? Are the churches more helpful or harmful? God walks into a freaking place and shoots everybody down. What's he use? God told me to do this because it was bad. When realistically, it was just a reflection within himself, how he felt about himself, that he did an external thing. It's crazy when people don't have a lack of belief in themselves, they do these god-awful things. And is it really a god-awful thing, or is it just the ideal that it's awful? And people are sitting putting God on it because they say, why did God let that happen? Who said God had anything to do with it? God created you to create your life. So therefore, in the process of taking 100% accountability for your life, it's amazing people who do that don't do those kind of things. But the other people who want to blame external things for the reason their lives suck do awful things to other human beings. But people who believe in themselves, love themselves unconditionally, have no problem believing there is an entity out there called God, and some people call it in different ways, universe, spirit. But they believe because they feel like they feel really connected to that source. But it also reflects their lives in a very perfect way. So if you don't believe God exists, don't you have to sit and reevaluate that one? Because you do. All right. Just think about that for a minute. It'll resonate with you. Have a good time. Let's go back to the chat room. Let's see. So Emma Rose, why don't you call back in? Why don't you call in tonight? I am such, because we're sitting here going, you like that one? Yeah, so we're sitting here looking at the ideal duality and people, so we can sit here and go, okay, it's not the idea of gay bashing, it's the idea of looking at the situation even logically, but also spiritually. You know, we sit here and look at the situation of really, you can't sit there and put yourself in a position of helping people, but you're only going to help the situations that don't really need your help. You know, you look at a situation like that, of pointing things out to people. I've had some situations myself where I've talked to people, and I've talked to a lot of gay people too as well. In the ideal situation, no passing judgment, just answer the questions. But when it comes to the ideal relationships, when I talk to a woman who, when I focus on the question that she asked me about a relationship, and I keep getting a vision and an answer that says she's going to be with a male, and she argues with me. This is a person who's not allowing themselves to see the truth. Okay? And the person yells at me and says, you know, you're just a gay basher. And I said, really? And you're just a person who refuses to see the truth. You keep asking the question, and God keeps telling you this is the answer, and this is who you're going to be with. But she refuses because it's amazing how people don't like their lives, want things to change. But as soon as you give them a positive insight to the situation, how you can change your life, it's amazing how they defend it, saying, no, 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 this is who I am. When realistically, that's the ego out of control. Because this is a thing that bugs me the most, is to realize that this perception that we think we have of ourselves is this ego we've created. Because the true spiritual self would be open to the possibilities and would open themselves up and let their resistance down to take in what really resonates with them. A person who argues, who makes excuses, who keeps reaffirming to you what they think they are, already knows it, that they're not. But they're not ready to let go of it. So you got to look at the situation and the process of the things you're going to have to change in your own life. Okay? If I sit and look at a woman and say, okay, this is what's happening. Every girl you've ever been with has left you for a man. Doesn't it tell you something? A confusion about sexuality. And there are certain things they're playing and portraying to them that's saying that's a confusion. But there's also physical signs that keeps telling them what's going to correct that. But they're not even looking in their own lives. They keep asking. They keep manifesting situations to also point the same thing out to themselves so they can see it within themselves. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen the situation of a girl who was with a guy and guys and the situation has treated them unfavorably. And when they have a tendency to say, well, I guess I'm gay, they go to the gay part, it's kind of funny how they still attract the same kind of partner. So it doesn't make a difference. So when you put it all out there in the big picture, why can't... I guess it's one of the situations you all got to sit here and focus on yourselves and say, okay, ask the questions, be honest with yourself, listen to the answers, tune into your guides and angels. Listen to what they're really telling you. Not what you're going to do, but what they're giving you as guidance. So they are guides and angels to help you understand the situation. The ego can actually get in the way what you really know you need to do, what you know is the best course of action, and they're there to guide you through the whole thing. Okay? So if your ego is out of check, more likely the guides and angels are going to be even a little more intense about the situation of thinking, wanting you to open up. All right, we're getting down there. It's 1:22. We have an hour and 22 minutes left in the show. It is now 9:38 p.m. here, Mountain Time. It's December 12, 2012. 12-12-12, huh? That got to be a positive answer, or positive number, I'm sorry. I'm your host, Psychic X Journey Man. Welcome. This is my show, Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. We're looking at everything else from different perspective, perception, and perception of looking at these situations and looking past the illusion and seeing the truth. Okay, follow your heart. not your hormones, and not your chemistry. Okay, I've seen too many situations of people thinking that they should be with a certain person, but all it was a physical attraction. Let's take a look at this situation. All right. So if you want to give a call in here, please do so. Give us a call, 646-721-9031. Love to hear your opinions and your insights on the situation of any kind of thing. You know, if you're a person that's been in those situations, that kind of stuff, you want to give us a different perception, be glad to listen. If you want to call and get a reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. If you are a person who would like to get a reading, on a personal note, I do personal readings, so give us a call. I'd love to do another. I like doing personal readings. Right now, for the holiday season, you can get all the readings I do, anything and everything, for only $1 a minute. So give us a call. All right? Give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699. Or to go to the website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Call now. Only $1. And the situation's like this, too. We got some great specials on other things, too. If you're a person who's in the Colorado area and would like to have someone come to your party, we'd be glad to come to your party. It's usually $150 to have us at your party. But for this holiday season, it's only $75. We do group readings, too, as well. You have 5 or 10 of your friends, usually $150 per session. Everybody gets at least a 20-minute reading. Okay, but for the holiday season, it's only $75. We work with gifted children, with parents who have no clue what to do. They know their child's gifted, but where to go. We can give you insights, the whole thing. And if you do have some insights, the idea of looking for someone to work with you on the situation, give us a call. Those sessions are usually 90-minute sessions, which usually are $135, but for this holiday season, it's only $90 with dollar a minute. So give us a call. 719-344-8699 or 740-500-8863 or go to the website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Or if you are in the Colorado Springs area and you'd like to get a reading in person, please do so. We're in Manitou Springs on Manitou Avenue. It's 946.5 Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, right next to the Flying Eagle, right across from Mushroom Mondays. So come on down. We love working with people face-to-face in person. That's the reason I got this shop was the idea of having that opportunity actually to work with people like I was doing before where it's like face-to-face. And actually the situation of getting that shop was a very blessing in itself because I was told when I first checked into getting it back, they said I couldn't have it. Something about the city not recognizing it as a retail space. And now I sit in there every day. So therefore an impossibility became a reality. So in the process of the situations, contact us for readings. We also do a lot of things with working with people and that kind of stuff, which we can also do in the shop too in person. Relationship counseling, relationship readings, life coaching, working with children. We can actually help you focus on working with children too as well. You know, special gifts, but also children who have, you know, special needs and all kinds of things. The ideal, focusing on oneself. Really focus on your own spirituality. Focusing on who you are. The idea of what your wants and needs and desires are. Actually benefits your children more than you think than pushing them to the side in favor of giving all your attention to your children. Because if you don't give any attention to yourself, okay, if you don't do any work on yourself, how can you really be good for anybody else, even your children? And whatever you do for yourself, you have to realize that your children are also extensions of you. So how does that child reflect back at you about yourself? What inside you? You could actually work on yourself to actually improve on that relationship between you and that child. That's what we do. So come to the shop. It's 946.5 Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. If you're all out there listening, whoever you are, and you're planning a trip to Colorado, please come to Manitou Springs and visit us. It'd be great. We used to have a lot of people coming to us from Ireland, and we had a lot of people from foreign countries who come to Manitou Springs. It is a vortex. It's in a vortex. And what a vortex is positive and negative energy, like the yin and the yang. So it's a mixture, almost like, I guess you'd say, it's like a tornado. A lot of people come here from everywhere. And it's a good place to visit no matter what time of the season it is. A lot of people go hiking here, too, as well. I've been thinking about putting myself back into the hiking mode, too, as well. And getting going to the incline. So you should check it out. I'm sitting here going, whoa. All right, we have a caller in the queue, so let's go talk to them and see if whoever's in the queue, let's go talk to you. If we get this, we're going to move to work. All right, area code 406, welcome to the show. It's my favorite friend from Montana.
Right, Donnie.
All right. I'm focusing on the whole thing. I was trying to remember the state you're in, and I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm going blank. I'm sort of going,
no,
oh, shoot,
right above you.
Huh?
Right above you.
Oh, I understand that point of view, sweetie. I was trying to remember your name.
Juanita.
Crazy day. Juan, what is it?
Juanita.
Yeah, it's Juanita. I sure remember that, too, because my very first girlfriend was named Juanita.
No, no.
No, I said her name was Juanita, wasn't you? I just wish it was. Anyway. How are you tonight?
All righty. Better now. I got
You're
a little bit
now?
More focused. Yeah, I liked your... I said the energy was kicking my butt.
Yeah. So what did you think about the latter part of the stuff I was talking about in the process of, you know, just people's sexual preferences? Because realistically, when I look at those situations, that's what I see. I've seen people taking sexual preferences and making lifestyles out of them.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, I mean, of course, each their own. But also in the process of they don't want to be denounced. I don't want to be pounced on. In the process
right.
of them pushing their beliefs down my throat, which is the ideal. I mean, it's just, I've seen some situations like that where they're not any better than Christians are. And the ideal, you're going to believe what I believe. And this is just the way it is, not realizing that's just their reality. I have a different
exactly.
look at the situation. So therefore, if you can't respect my opinion, I have a funny feeling I'm not going to respect yours either. That's just how it works. Like attracts like. So when you look at the situation of saying, okay, you know, when people start saying that you should, right there, I want everybody to stop and go, okay, if someone's trying to tell you that you should do anything, you should question the person who's basically doing that, wanting you to see their perception. Because realistically, when I sit here and say things on the show, if someone comes on the show and tells me otherwise, I'm not going to argue with them. I'm just going to sit down and say, this is my perception. This is what I believe. If they're going to push it, I'm going to back it up by going back to certain things I know for a fact with the people I've worked with. You know, when you take a look at the situation, the person says, well, this is how relationships are. I'm going to come back and say, well, my perception is differently, and I'll tell you why, because I work with over 1,000 people, thousands and thousands of people. How many people have you worked with? And a lot of people are sitting there going, this is my perception. Okay, every perception and everything that you believe in is because of the people that you've crossed paths with. So I'm just asking a question. I'm saying, okay, where did you acquire this perception? Even if it's only from the family. Most families only have an average between, well, besides that one on freaking television, because that freaking reality show. That's a little bit different, yeah. 19 kids. Whoa. But on the average, most families only have between 2 to 5, okay? And if that's what you're working with your perception on it, the reason I have a tendency to be a little more stern, because I have a lot more perception to go with, because I've
right.
met so many people. But I look at the situations from an individual basis to realize that my perception is based on an individual preference, but also the situations of understanding other people's perceptions that I consider and say, okay, this is what I believe. You stand firmly with it. If you feel like you got to pull. I mean, we had this one lady do this one time, where I was actually, the books were flying out, and they're looking at the things in the Bible. They're looking at all this freaking stuff. See, the difference between her and me in the process of backing up what I got to say, I don't need to pull a book out.
Right.
It's the ideal of the reason I'm so strong and so stern is because I focus on the strength within myself. Now, I sit and told someone, when I sit there and read people, okay, there are times I've actually pulled the book out to look at cards. But right now, I work on a lot of things, and this is the reason I like working and doing readings in person. I can sit there and look at you as you're standing in my doorway and tell you why you pick the colors and why you wear the clothes you wear. It all reflects you. Also, the facial expressions, why your nails are the way they are, why you paint your nails a certain color. And so when I tell people, when you come to my shop to get a palm reading, you know, don't expect it to take less than 20 minutes. Don't sit there and go, you know, let this be a spiritual experience for you, because, I mean, people talk about being scared of palm readings. They're just readings in general. When realistically, it's giving you insights to your own life, it's giving you advice and direction, and even the idea of giving you a prompting of what you should do. Which 9 out of 10 times, people already know. It's just the idea of getting a confirmation and then giving them the advice and the motivation to follow through with what they already knew they needed to do anyway. So that tells us right there, everybody talks about psychic ability, right? Or intuition. Everybody's listening to it. It's just the idea, are you following it?
Exactly.
Yeah, because people are there saying, well, I don't think I'm intuitive. No, I just don't think you're listening.
Right.
So we do readings, right? When we do readings for people, if they sit there and say, well, that's common sense. Okay, great. But you had to hear it from somebody else to realize that. And if it's such common sense, then you know for a fact this is what you need to do and follow through with.
Yeah.
People are like going, Yeah, it's like we trace it back to the source. So who creates
exactly?
You. And so I've had this kind of a stigmatism about the palm reading things. I'm scared. I don't think I really want to know. I said, so you really don't want to know yourself? All the palm reading does, realistically, like I said before, the clothes, rings, necklaces, they reflect you. And not just in the present state, I can also find things with you that there's also traumas to your body that are scars and reflections of past life experiences.
Right, yeah.
So definitely. You sit and so next time you go to a shop, let's say you come to my shop, for example, and you say, $35 for a past life reading. I think you should experience it before you start judging the idea if it's too much or not. And ask yourself, how much money are you willing to invest in yourself? Because it's all about you. I'm just a freaking messenger and the translator and the whole thing that goes along with it, the idea of what I can see and do. But it's also to help you realize, too, that if it's all about you, then all you need to do is, as I'm taking a look within yourself, I'm just reflecting back at you, you should be doing the same thing.
Right.
You might remember talking today, and she was just like looking at me and going, because she was on a reading for me, and I interpreted the cards quicker than she did. And she agreed. You know, it's like one of those things. It's okay to come into your own because you're going to, and you have to accept that. That's we look at the idea of self-acceptance, right? Self-acceptance is a constant thing going on. Why? Because we're constantly changing, so you have to constantly change that perception, so therefore you can actually have that self-awareness of yourself. To sit there and say, hey, you know something? There is a difference between two people. One person has to sit there and brag about how bad and how good they are when you're saying, this person doesn't know shit. So there's a person who has to keep restating how great they are because they know how great they're not. Now, if they will quit lying to themselves and really look into the situation, the reflection is also saying that they can be that good. If they look into themselves, instead of trying to get stimulation from somebody else saying, yeah, you're fantastic. Can I have my money now? You know. Anyway. But
very true.
Yeah, we did the same thing too. So she was in the living room going, I said, well, I guess we have to sit here and come to a day where we're saying, this is a really good time for me and all the things I've acquired. The reason I've acquired all these things is because this is what we call, what do we call this?
Law of attraction.
Well, it's a law of attraction, but see, this is the outcome. See, everything's happening for me the way it is because I changed my perception. By changing that perception, changed the outcome, and now the outcome's coming forward.
Right, yeah.
So when I sit here and tell people about my life and that kind of thing, it's not the idea of bragging. It's the idea of looking at you going, so when are you going to start doing it too?
Right.
The reflection happens all the time. So here I'm standing in front of you, and you're thinking, well, you're fantastic, awesome, and great. I don't know if I could ever do that. Well, the vision says otherwise, because here we are standing in greatness, which also reflects your greatness as well.
Exactly.
So let down the resistance and let your true self come out. Because it must be there, because we know for a fact that like attracts like. So you can't deny
right.
it. Well, I guess you could. But what I'm saying is you can't deny it because they're just staring at you.
Very true. Very true.
So therefore, in the process of denying, aren't you just denying yourself of all the good
actually,
things you have? Yeah, victim. You want to play the victim? I'm tired of it. You know, a long time ago, I was sitting there going, okay, playing the victim has got me what? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And then I started looking around going, okay, let's take a look at the things that I have attracted and how they're working against me. You know, I had a wife who was constantly looking for someone to make out with. Or trying to look, you know, she was having affairs. And I started to look at the situation, right, and say, okay, I'm not having affairs. But this one was driving me crazy. I'm actually looking for it, too. So realistically, we were both reflecting. It's just that her reflection that she was getting laid more than I was. Anyway, but still, you have to take a look at the situation, which I didn't do at the time. But you can see the reflection was actually reflecting off the two insecurities. They were playing out
right.
in different ways, but the energy of this insecurity was definitely there. So therefore, when I looked at it, instead of feeding into it anymore, I said, you know something? I don't want to do that. So I took
yeah.
a deep breath and go, that's gone. I think that's where I came with the perception. We could just take our lives and say, okay, everything that happened a second ago and on back and just forget it ever existed. It'd be a whole lot easier for us to actually look at people now and see them for who they really are, good or bad. Because we've changed our perception in the process. We're not hanging on to that stuff no more. So we're not using that. So since we're not using that, it changes our perception in a more positive way, because we really want to see people for how real they are, which means we must have tapped into our own selves to see ourselves for who we really are. So it makes everything easier when we sit here and look at everybody else. We can see, I guess it's rude, it can be a rude awakening sometimes when you look at somebody else and you see yourself through that person and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
I've been doing those things too, but it's not the ideal of tapping into more guilt or even bringing more guilt on ourselves and say, well, I'm a bad person. It's the idea of looking at that person for what they were brought into your life for to reflect back at you the illusion. That's not you. Because here you are looking at it going, that's not me. Well, admit it. You're right, it's not me. But admit it that you did feed into it. It's a world of perception, probably. So you take a step back and go, okay, what do I really want, need, and desire in my life? Not what the world tells me. Because the world tells me I need a brand new car every year.
Yeah.
The world tells me that I need a big, humongous house, and I need to pay bills, and I need to pay a mortgage, and I need to pay insurance. Guess what? No, you don't. I always had a problem with insurance, because doesn't insurance feed into lack and limitations? Doesn't it also feed into the fear of what could happen in a bad way? So it's
right.
not a good thing. Like we had a show too, I said, trace it back to the source. You'll find out. Back in the day, before Allstate became Allstate, which is in the 30s. You'll see in the 20s, it was called extortion. So you either pay me money or something bad's going to happen to your house. Or something bad's going to happen to your establishment and your business. pay me this amount of money every week, and it won't happen. Okay, isn't insurance? Listen to the idea. Listen to what I just described. Now, listen at the same time, the next time your insurance agents describe to you, you give me this money, okay, because a tree might fall on your house. How you know he wasn't after cutting the branches, okay?
Well, exactly, and, but yeah, so I have my... Go ahead.
So I was just going to say that in the process of feeding into what he's telling you, you have more likely, there's more of a likelihood of you manifesting that fear into reality than if you didn't think about it at all.
Exactly,
there are
people.
Well, we have proof of that when we have tornadoes. You'll have a whole neighborhood and all these people freaking out. But here you have one house in the middle of it that was never touched. I bet you anything, those people's perception is different than the ones who actually got demolished.
Right, right.
Because you've heard the stories. Mysteriously, you know, miraculously, there's a miracle happening.
Right.
Miracles happen because we change our perception from a negative one to a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of opening the doors to all the positive possibilities. So
right.
Into the idea, what if my life just, you know, what if I get in the car and crash? I said, what if you get in the car and you go from point A to point B and no mishaps? You know, there's two sides to what if. We could get mad at Adam and Eve and the idea of eating from the fruit of that tree that we wouldn't have duality. Because there's people out there who say we don't learn unless we have to go through the negative to learn about the positive. I'm sorry. I've gone through enough negative. I do get enough
yeah.
The positive, okay? So I don't need any more negative things here.
Exactly.
And in that realization, my resistance is down to actually more positive outcomes, more positive manifestations. And actually, to tell you the truth, with some of the things I've talked about on the show, I'm going to talk to you about, you know, when you say look at those situations, now one person will look at those as being miracles. I look at them as thank you for your intervention of helping me to manifest exactly what I wanted to happen in that situation.
Right.
So I was telling my friend about the situation. Now, we did a reading tonight. Now, she does her readings differently. But the thing that came up the most is the idea of focusing on everything happening business-wise in a very positive way in the winter. Now, winter doesn't happen until when? I think it's the 21st.
Yeah.
Of December.
D-Day.
So basically,
yeah, D-Day.
That's true, too. But like I said before, the worst thing about the 21st, it could be the 22nd with all those people with hangovers who went to all
yeah.
the different parties. You know?
They're the ones that kill themselves going, oops.
Yeah, but we sit there and focus also on the situation, how she did her pyramid, how she did her readings. So we have one side that focuses entirely on business, expectations, positive, focusing, powerful. Powerful business. So it seems like the idea of acquiring the shop is going to bring about a lot of changes in a very positive way. Then on the other side of the reading she did, it's talking about parenting, family. Talks about one getting his heart's desire, everything goes along with it. There was actually a representation in the cards of a redhead. And then there was a significant birthday. There's a certain significant birthday that has a significant meaning, okay? So we have that going on. And then the final outcome was the outcome would be parenting and family. And I was sort of looking at the situation, from what I know, there is family there. And the idea of not acquiring a girlfriend, I would also be in the process of acquiring a family, this realization thing. And then also the cards were also saying that in the process of getting advice, I don't need to listen to anybody else. I need to focus on what I see and what I know. And I was like, really? It says that in the cards? And I didn't say anything. But I was like, she goes, what was you focusing on? I said, I knew exactly what I was focusing on. And the way those cards reflected in a very positive outcome, how could I not see any other way of who that person is with that positive outcome? So you see with the readings and stuff, one thing we have to sit there and really really stressed people, and the urgency of that stressing, saying, we can do readings to you for you till doomsday. If you're not going to take in and let it resonate with you and actually follow through, then realistically it's all up to you. Whatever happens, whichever way you go.
Right.
So we have to... So I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, and she's like, you're right. If a person, if you look up and you're looking at, because we've had this at least three times where people say, well, she's going to come to your shop, she's going to look, you're going to look up and see her, but it's not going to be her. And I was
right.
Going, okay, the scenario starts off a certain way, like I know this person, but then I realize I don't know this person, but also seeing a positive outcome. You know, describing the person.
Right. She's changed.
So I was like, yeah, because you know, the idea of denial, she's not, well, you can sit here and say she's not good for me. But also, that's what I did was, I did have three cards for myself where it was like assertiveness, and the assertiveness card actually says, you know, assert your independence and never say yes to something you really don't want to do. That's just basically focusing on how important it is to be yourself. And the idea of focusing on what it means to allow yourself to be, so crucially important for you to be who you are, which is your spiritual being, which in the process of focusing on your spirit and who you are as the truth of who you are. When you do that, you also tap into your own intuition. Okay? So therefore,
You know.
So I was sitting here looking at the cards you were talking about. It was a nice little foundation of certain things. And then the next two cards on the pyramid came up. It was a romantic partner and miracles healing. And then the top card was marriage. Now, when you have a miracles healing, that means somebody is going through a very strong, powerful realization. Okay, now for a person to come to this fantastic, awesome, incredible realization of this miracle healing.
They have to change.
Yeah, so, and the person changes. It's also, the cards are, you're asking a question about a certain person, so it's reflecting to you this miracle healing. Usually when you get miracles healings and that kind of realization, it has to do with somebody you already know.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you wouldn't know that person when it came to you doesn't mean you don't know them, but you would actually notice the changes within them. In the process of noticing those changes within that person, you would know it's them, but you wouldn't recognize them because their actions are different. We've all had these situations where a person comes to us and we're thinking they're going to treat us a certain way, and then they don't.
Right.
So we say, okay, like my mom looked at me one day and said, hey, you really give good advice. I was just listening to you. I looked at her and I'm like, hold up. Aliens have stolen my mother. Who are you? That you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I had another
there
friend
we go.
Tell me too. I had another friend tell me, she goes, I see a person showing up your shop unexpectedly. Well, realistically, when you look at the situation, every kind of encounter like that is always unexpectedly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, when I sit here and say, when you do readings with people, the idea of keeping yourself open and not closed-minded means you can actually feel how that would resonate with you as truth, because your intuition is always working. So when you go to a reading and somebody gives you bullshit, you know. It's kind of
yeah,
like
that's like the yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying people have a tendency to go, okay, that's bullshit. But then when you tell them something real good, they question it. You sure?
Yeah.
I was like, everybody's scared to death. Okay, man, positive? That was positive. I don't know if I believe that or not. But if you give them bullshit, they're like, you're just full of it, man. So I'm sitting there going, hold up. You know, like our favorite one where people come to you and say, I don't have a clue. And then you give them insights to the situation, and they said, no, you're wrong. And you're like, based on what? Because when you came here, you had no clue.
Right.
But now you're telling me I'm wrong. Based on what? Because you didn't know nothing.
Right.
Maybe you did know something more than you'd like to admit, which you still don't want to admit. So therefore, you spontaneously come back with a comment saying you're wrong. You see how that works when people get angry at me, which I look at them going, oh, so you do know. No. How can you prove me wrong when you have nothing for the basis of your argument? And guess what? I do. Someone will come
exactly.
back and say, okay, this is why I feel like this, this, and this, and this. And people are like, okay, you're just beating up on me. No, well, okay, great. Maybe I'm beating up on you, but if you're going to sit here and take it, whose fault is it really? Okay, it's like we were talking about the lady before in the situation, the relationships. I don't know if you heard that one or not.
What?
Well, I proved to her that her mother and her husband.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're the same energy. Exactly.
Yeah. I said, and asked her, too. I said, these situations are pretty much identical. And she said, no, they're different. I said, okay, then you tell us about the first situation with your mother. Okay, we did the whole thing. And then we sit here and talk about the husband.
Yeah.
They were both being disrespectful, maybe in different ways, in different formats, but it was still the same.
Right.
So she, you know, so when you look at the situation, reason I wanted to look at both of these situations was first of all to bring it to the forefront so she could see it for what it was. They were definitely connected. And the idea of the disrespect. Okay, they disrespected her. Okay, they're bad, but. Now, and the first thing she said about her mother is, and she also said that thing, the same thing about her husband, too. The first thing that came out of her mouth was, I love. And the love part was actually being used for justification to stay in a situation. You know, I can't distance myself from my mother because it's my mother and I love her. Okay, it doesn't matter. The actions dictate otherwise. That's what I was trying to say to her. Because I think she, it was great that at the end of the reading, she was like, okay, I know what I need to do. I personally, like I said, the reason I said what I said was because that's what I felt. She needs to do it as soon as possible. The holiday season is the perfect season to do this. Why? Because they're really going to miss her. They're going to really have some great relationships.
Oh, yeah,
The holiday season brings up a lot of emotions anyway, so therefore we're going to get it. This year is the one that brings up the most realizations about people you really do care about. That you really would want in your life, or you're in the process of even gravitating to more. And if it doesn't happen during the holiday season, I guarantee some realizations are going to go on and stir some things up within them. But after the first of the year, might be one of the might actually fall in the category of one of the resolutions.
Right.
We actually have someone in the queue.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
let's hear what they say.
Anything you're picking up with these people you want to throw out? You're more than welcome to do so.
All right, dear.
No, I'm hungry.
Ah, me too.
I was sitting there looking at the situation going, because I went to my shop today and I invited some lady to come over because I was like, she wanted me to come over to her place because she's a healer. And I wanted to come, she'd been to my place. So I said, I want you to come here, we'll sit down and talk and stuff, and then we'll go to your place. So therefore, I know what's at. She goes, okay, cool. So we went down there and we talked, and she said, I really want you to come to where I do my work, because she said, she was really excited because she finally got her first client that came to her house, and she did a healing session on him. She actually got paid for it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was like, great, fantastic. You come over, we'll talk about it. And then she was excited, and she wanted to help me out too as well. She did a couple of fantastic readings for me too. Because see what we did on the one I was talking to you about, right?
Uh-huh.
I was sitting there on the reading that last reading I told you about was. When it came to business and the family and parenting, all kind of
right.
stuff, the question was asked. It was about that heart crystal that I gave her, that the idea of the influence, of what kind of influence would it have in the process that I've always, because it was like a confirmation was why I asked the question. It was like, I've always felt like that heart got to her for a reason, the process of being, a catalyst between the two of us to bring us together. And that was the reading that came out.
Oh, so it did come out.
Yeah, so we asked the question about the heart that I given her, how it's going to affect the outcome. And the reading I just told you about, what it talked about, fantastic business and the connection with the bird. So I told my friend, I was looking at her going, how can I not look at this situation to see a positive outcome and actually see the visualizations I've seen come to pass, me and her being together and sharing a life. That was
you have to. Yeah.
Yeah. So So it's like, and it was thought, and when the first reading told me that in the process of, you know, realistically not taking advice from anybody else because of your favorable assessment of the facts,
mm-hmm.
that you don't need to anymore, and people are going to tell you otherwise, a lot of things and stuff. Because we had a thing in the chat room one night where I was sitting there talking to people, and someone gave me this insight about the situation, and this is what happened, because we were sitting there talking, and I said something about her coming to my shop, and this connection and stuff, and actually it happening sooner, and the person said, I think that's just wishful thinking. And I said, well, of course, listen to this comeback. This is what I said to her. I said, my card, I just pulled a card out when I was talking to her. It said, your wish comes true. So I'll go with the wishful thinking. All right? And I said, you amateur readers, listen to me, because you're actually hearing me at this moment, that you need to see the big picture and not just what you're comfortable with. Because the big picture is a spiritual encounter and a spiritual outcome. But you're sitting there using logic and worldly perceptions to basically give you insight on what you're seeing instead of taking it for what it is. And I said, you're saying wishful thinking, but that's also the basis for manifestation.
Well, what I always say is some psychics who don't know read people's minds, other psychics read their spirits. And that's what you're supposed to do, is read the spirit or the higher guidance.
Yeah, when you read, because that's what we were talking about the other day, when we were talking about psychics who said they can't read themselves, it's not listening to themselves. So why would I want to believe him or her? Because, you know, because I'll tell this later, so think about it this way. If you have a psychic who's telling you need to listen to yourself, at the same time they say they can't read themselves, and that's a contradiction, isn't it?
I can read myself a lot of times. Sometimes it's confusing, or I need a confirmation.
Not that we're not reading ourselves, but it's just get confirmation.
Confirmation, exactly.
If you get enough confirmation after a while, you should be able to trust yourself, or realizing that you've already picked up on the whole thing and someone's just confirming it for you. So you should take that as a great job of listening to yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. So, you know, but I've heard a lot of professional psychics who've been doing it for a long time still say they can't read themselves. And personally, I think what they're trying to do, of course, this is my personal opinion, that they're actually rustling up clients using their fellow psychics and say, well, since you can't read yourself, give me a call. Just talk about it. They're going, I'm sorry, but I don't need to do that. I have a tendency to attract people in my life anyway. So, I want to pay $30. I got a friend over here. I just manifested. Who will just sit there and be my friend and give me answers to questions. You know, I've actually had friends who do this too, who refuse to ask me free stuff. They insist on paying. And I think if you have friends who insist on paying you, that means they just respect who you are and they respect what you do, and you should allow them to do that. Because you can also be disrespectful by not letting them follow through with their gesture, because they want to help you as much as, and it's a vice versa thing. So, just bring on our next caller, 203 area code. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And what's your name? Okay. Area code 203. You're on the air. Area code 203. You're on the air, and you're not going to be on the air for very long if you don't answer the question. Hello. How are you? I want to on mute.
Hello?
Yes. Area code 203. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hi, Ebony. I'm sorry. I'm on my cell phone, and my phone is going in and out. I apologize.
That's all right. We won't see you this time. And...
Only this.
But how can we help you?
This is more of a career type of question. I'm really at my wit's end. I need some change, and I kind of want to know what you see in terms of that.
I get the impression if you really focus on the situation, on what you really want to do, you could actually manifest it in 2 months. And actually said that you could actually do the, it could be something that could actually happen in January.
Really?
Yeah, because I was, the first thing that came to me was, you could definitely have to admit one thing. The situation is not good for you. Because it actually taps into making you feel less worthy than actually feeling whole. Which I feel like that's what the job was acquired for in the first place.
Yeah, so I guess it's one of those things where it's very stressful. You're helping other people, but you're not really helping yourself. And in the meantime, like, I don't want to not use the degree that I went to school for, but it's like, it's always been a priority because that's what gets the bills paid. But now I've really started doing, like, more creative work, which I also have experience and certifications in, but it's just not lucrative, you know what I mean?
But you also have to look at the situation. Listen to your perception of saying how what is lucrative and what is not. When you sit here and said, say the job itself is what gets your bills paid, but actually you going to work gets your bills paid. You can take yourself out of the equation as much as you want to, but every time you trace it back, you're going to be looking at yourself going, okay, if that's the case, and then the solution is within you and what you really want to do with your life. Because, I mean, I've seen this so many times. You need to take your perception a little bit out there and do more research to prove yourself wrong that you can be lucrative at doing what you want to do. Because I had someone sit there and say, you know something, you really can't make a living at that psychic stuff. Really? So Sylvia Brown, she's an illusion? John Edwards? These other famous psychics, Lisa Williams? Come on, you ever seen these people's houses? It must be pretty lucrative somewhere. Anyway. What I'm saying is when you sit here and put yourself in a situation, it's like if you look at Sylvia Brown, a lot of these people, their lives and their life purpose is not just one-dimensional. It's not a job. It's not just doing readings. It's books. It's just all kinds of opportunities came along with it. What you said, so if you don't change your perception and look at something that can be lucrative, it's the idea of doing research. It gives you more insight. A three-dimensional vision, but things could be a lot more lucrative. You just your perception right now tells you otherwise. Doesn't mean it can't be changed. But do a little more research on the situation. I actually got that card too. It just says, "Do more research. You know, go into the focus of the situation." Because where you're at now is, if you're going to stay where you're at right now, one thing I would recommend is finding me time, finding an outlet, because. A lot of people I work with, Juanita, we all have outlets because we work with people all the time. Sometimes we pick a person, but I'm just kidding. Anyway, so I'm just saying.
No,
when you
I
look
know.
At this situation,
what you mean.
I'm just saying. I mean, I know for a fact that if I don't sit or take the me time for myself, I get migraines. The migraines are pointing to me that I need an outlet. I need to focus on me. Not take
I
a
know.
Freaking aspirin.
Well, what I do part-time is totally an outlet. I could leave my full-time job lethargic, and I get my second win when I get to this second job. And it's going to take some time for me to build up my clientele, which I have the website. I got a Facebook page. I've really been trying to put myself out there, and I'm getting
what do you do?
Slowly. A cosmetologist.
Okay, say it one more time.
A cosmetologist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With the situation, I've heard people say this before too. You know, it takes time to get clientele. But see, we had this conversation this morning. I was talking to a friend of mine. Time is perception. Time is what you say it is. Okay, you know, you have a friend over. If you have a friend, we've seen this before. Millions of times, you're sitting in a bus stop or a bus station. Now, for you, you're not really focusing on time being slow or fast. But this person here is saying it's taking forever for the bus to get here. Okay, when you throw that perception out there, things start slowing down. Okay, you see, the perception changed everything. Okay, but this other person who's busy doing what they're going to do, a minute just flies by. Another person who sits here and watches the clock, that minute seems like forever. So it's different perceptions. So it's the idea of looking at things like that and saying, okay, I don't have enough time. You're right. If you say, I do have enough time, you're right too. Because when you sit here and look at a situation, it takes time to build clientele. The very first thing that came to me is what I do every day. I'll sit in my shop, and I'll make an intention. I focus on 20 clients that day. I mean, and I tell people, do I always get 20 clients every day? Yes. But there are some days I don't. But the intention brings in, when you look at those readings and those sessions and what happened that day, is really nice experiences that you want to go look at again. So it's just not the ideal of attracting and visualizing clients come in. It's also the conversations, the insight. It's the idea of focusing on what you love to do and being able to share that with somebody. And
yeah.
That's what you need to do. And then you'll notice that it doesn't take no time. And you have a lot of clients. But you also have to realize the situation. People get caught up in this client bullshit, okay, of saying they want to have regulars. They don't realize that regulars are created because you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to have that faith within yourself, too, to say, okay, you know, I used to tell a friend of mine when we were working, we work on websites and stuff, and the first thing she would say is, there's like 2,000 psychics on the night, man. I'm not going to get any freaking readings. You see what you did? That's her intentions.
Yeah.
She's saying,
wow.
There's so many people on there. I'm not going to get any readings. Did she get any readings that night? No. So when I sit here and talk to her and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to focus on sitting, you're going to... Like, we'll take your situation as a psychic side of the building. You're the only person in that building. And you're a magnet. And people are coming to you automatically. They're just gravitating towards you. Not because you're the only person there. Because you are what they want. You're everything they want. But what reason we focus on being alone? Because it's just us. So therefore, it makes it easy for those people to come to us. See, what we're doing is we're taking away any kind of obstructions or any blocks, which is basically with her, she sees there's a lot of psychics, that's her block. So we picture her in a room by herself, and people are just gravitating toward her.
Yeah.
Because there's no blocks to keep them from coming to her because she's the best at what she does.
I used to, at one point, I was like stuck on, that was my thought process, but now I've had like somewhat of a shift where I'm like, I have to do it. There's no questions about it. This has to be done. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but it's going to do it. I'm going to do it. Like, I do feel more confident now that I can make it happen because, like I said, the job that I'm at is just pushing me to that point. I can't take it anymore. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack if I stay at this job. Like, it's becoming more of a physical thing, and I don't want to think that way. I try to stay positive. I try to regroup because I don't want to attract that negative energy, you know. But I've been here 4 years now. I have to go, you know.
That's true, too. But I'm just trying to get easier for you. Plus, what you just described was a situation when I was in Florida. I was working for a landfill, and I was working through a job spot labor place, and they were sending me out there all the time. And then I started being put in situations where my health was affected by the chemicals and stuff. So what I did was, instead of getting caught up in the whole thing, because I started getting cysts, and I actually found ways to get rid of these cysts of actually doing things that you maybe shouldn't do, but I did it myself by listening to guidance. Well, I didn't have to go to a doctor, but I sit here and said, you know, this is kind of crazy to
yeah.
do this. So therefore, God and angels, I need a better place to work. I need the opportunities. I need situations to happen. But I do know one thing. I need to be taken away from here because this is not good for me anymore. Next thing I know, they wasn't sending me out there anymore. And I started to feed into the stress and say, okay, well, if I don't get to go out there, then I won't be making any money. Okay? I have this book called Abundance. It's called the Abundance Book. And the book, it says, there's a statement in there. It says that money is not your support. No person, place, or condition is your support. God and only God is your support. And the focusing on the realization of who you are, okay? Now, what I did was, so instead of feeding into it, I listened to my guidance exclusively. I went home. Instead of stressing, I wasn't working, so I had some time. So I said, well, there are some books and stuff, some things I want to do. So I did them. That's what I did. I put myself into my life. What do I want to do at that moment? What do I want? Not what I don't want, but what I want to do. So I was sitting there, I was drawing to this book. I've been using this freaking business card as a bookmarker of a job that I tried to get 3 months prior. But for some reason, second shift didn't fall into place, so I didn't get it. The second shift would have been a great shift for me. Okay? So I was sitting there going, okay, we just kind of let it go. Didn't think about it no more. So here I am. I'm not working. I'm not going out with this staff anymore. So I sit and said, okay, I'd love to have a job. Okay, guys? So lead me and guide me in that direction. So I went, I was reading this, it was kind of fun. I was reading this spiritual book, right? As soon as I opened the book up, this card fell on my lap. I got a prompting to call that number. I had a job in 20 minutes without even leaving the house. It was a little challenging because I didn't have a cell phone either. So I had to go ask somebody else to use their cell phone to call these people. But they called me back in 20 minutes and asked me if I could start that night. Since I already had gone there before, they remembered me. And all this thing fell into place just like that. And I was telling a friend of mine about that, and he's like, really? Oh, yeah, I've seen other things, too. I remember we was at the job they replaced that one day, about 2 weeks before Christmas. And this guy was like, you're not going to think Joe. His name was Joe. He used to piss me off because he was so negative. But I was sitting there going, okay. And I have a tendency to get bold with people. I think we all should do that in the process, that when things are not good for us, to ask them to leave. Because if Joe was at our table, and he was just constantly, over and over, loudly saying, we're never going to get any jobs because it's 2 weeks to Christmas. We're not, it's just, it's not going to happen. I looked at Joe and said, could you do me a favor? He said, what? I said, move to another table. Go to the negative table. Just go away. Okay? I'm sorry, but, you know, I've had enough. And I'm sitting there, because I was sitting there talking to the guys, and everywhere I went, I used to take spiritual books with me. I'm going to focus, I'm going to get, and that would always go out. So I'm sitting there. Joe leaves, I swear to you. It wasn't 2 minutes after Joe had moved to another table that they called the whole table I was at to go out. Now, if that's a coincidence, I don't believe in coincidences. So you look at the situation you're in and just let it go. Say, okay, God and angels, I'm ready. Sometimes when we stress too much and we get caught up in the world and everything's going on, we don't see the opportunities that are laying right in front of us. Have you ever gone down a street and you see a donut shop or something that you've never seen before, and then somebody informs you it's been there for 10 years?
Yeah, I've had
we're all stressed out. That's why we have a tendency to miss opportunities. And then once we clear our mind, we see everything clearly, even things that wasn't there before, but they've been there the whole time. So I'm just saying, clear your mind, let everything go, and say, okay, I'm going to start focusing on what I really want to happen. And then we used to tell everybody, in the process of morning rituals, get up. The very first thing you do, sit on the floor, cross your legs, put your hands where your palms of your hands are together, straight out in front of you. Now open those arms. As you're opening your arms, say to yourself, or out loud, whichever makes you feel good, whichever you feel is more productive, and say, I'm open to receive. Simple as that. I am open to receive. Because basically with your intentions of what I've already heard, you already put it out there. Now it's the ideal of opening up and letting it receive.
Yeah, there's no other option at this point. I've been creating, I've been pretty much trying to find, different pictures and things like that for inspiration on what exactly I want, because, you know, people always tell me, well, you got to be specific, and that's what I want to do. I want to be specific on what I want, where I want to be, because I feel like, you know, I just, life is so short on this earth, and I just don't want to live it in regrets. I just want to have fun, and even though the economy is crappy and, you know, not so nice things are happening, for the most part, yeah, the economy is very crappy right now.
Well, I think change your perception. I mean, forget everything out there that exists. Stop watching the news. Watch everything else. See, when you sit and look at the situation, all those things are going is working against you. So what you do is you know, I would sit there and get a focus board, and that's my television for the next whenever, until after this all comes the way I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I mean, just, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do it no more. But I'm, because you're sitting here saying right now an opportunity is not presenting itself to me, but when you start clearing what no longer contributes to your happiness, look at it like when you're home and stuff like that, like, I mean, people think I'm crazy, but I know for a fact that when I stopped watching television and only was basically realistically on the computer, I could actually work, and there's always my perception and my intentions. Why am I on here? That's the only reason I'm on there for.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be cop like everybody else did, you know? And then as soon as I stopped doing those things, I started looking at the possibilities, not the impossibilities, and just by doing those things. I mean, my phone, you don't see me walking down the sidewalk texting to somebody. You will see me in my shop. This phone I have is my portable device where I can actually do shows from my shop. I actually use this phone for music in my shop. This is a solution to not having power in my shop. Okay? But it's also, that's what it's for. Communication is something that I started because this is why I started the shop. To communicate and to also back up what I say. These are communicational devices for one thing, in the process of not being able to communicate face-to-face. But if you have an opportunity to communicate, you should make all the opportunities to make that happen in the process of having a great relationship. If you want to have a great relationship with anything, even business-wise, get your ass off Facebook. It's working against you. It's a negative avenue. If you're thinking anything, because I've had too many people use that against me, saying, well, you know, we had a friendship, and I think it's kind of extorted because of being on Facebook. And I'm like, no, it didn't. We had a friendship way before that. But see, it's also somebody's using it to denounce something that's real. So see, there's a proven fact that it's working against instead of being an avenue. But I don't think I've really had anybody come on the show that said anything about coming through Facebook. They just said they were just on Blog Talk Radio and just happened to find the show. This is what we call magnetism, the law of attraction, working in the truest sense. We attract everything to us, opportunities, people, and situations, clients, whatever it is, unlimited money, abundance, prosperity. Anything you want is attracted to you. Every good thing you desire will come to you. So stop chasing after it. Stop thinking you've got to do things. We had a shop up here the first time. I think we sent out flyers one time. No advertising. Just had the shop. And it's amazing how many people gravitated toward this shop. I just had a lady, seriously, I'm not joking to you, sweetie. I had a lady come to me who lives in South Carolina, came to the shop, and what's so funny about it was, you think attraction's weird. This one was even the weirdest because she actually went to my old shop first, thinking that I was there to find me. And I had never met this person before in my life. Not this lifetime anyway. But she found me, and I've had so many people who said they just felt like they were drawn there. I actually had one lady, she thought I was doing a reading for somebody. She didn't realize I was talking to a friend. She actually paced down in front of my shop for 3 hours.
Wow.
So I'm saying, when you sit there and have that kind of belief within yourself and say, every good thing I desire comes to me, I think the most spiritual enlightenment you can have is to let go, open to receive, and allow it to happen. To realize that everything, when you start doing a life assessment, you'll realize that realistically, that's how your life has always been. Everything has always come to you that was really good for you, that was in your best interest. The things that wasn't were always challenging and a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely true for me. You're
other
right.
People got jobs. All they keep talking about is like, I hate my job. I got to work 40 hours. I got to do this. They live from week to week. And they complain because they can't get ahead. You know how come they can't get ahead? Because their perception tells them otherwise. So that's what I'm saying. You can put the intentions out there all you want. But if your perception tells you otherwise, it's working against you. What you want to do is look at your perception. You can either have your perception as a brick wall, or you can have it as a curtain that all you have to do is push it aside and enjoy your life.
Yeah, that's what I'm at. I just said that today. I said, you know what? I'm at a point where I don't even want to hear myself say that I have no other options. Like, I have to stay here because of my bills. I don't, that's not an option anymore. I don't even want to talk about how much mm-hmm. I dislike this place. I need to make a change. Bottom line.
That's what we call. That's what we call. See, because you look at the situation and looking at people and go, okay, did everybody realize what it means to take back your power? If you listen to what she just said, the bills are in charge. Okay, by your declaration, you're basically saying, okay, no more. I'm in charge. The bills. Because last week we did this with a lady and said, I want you to do this. I want you to stop worrying about your bills. Because you're going to find out, because I did this too. I just stopped and started realizing that everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a situation that you can't pay your rent, it might be just simply saying to yourself that you've bitten off more than you can chew and is trying to bring balance back in your life and the idea of really focusing on what you really want to do. Because some people have a tendency to get the big apartments, the big houses, because that's what they're basically taught that they really need. Okay, all of a sudden you take a step back and look at the situation. I had this other guy who was doing the same thing, where it's like, I can't retire yet because I need the money. I can't really afford to retire. When you really realistically look at his life, he's hanging on to stuff that he needs to let go of, that he no longer needs. Because realistic people go, how can you tell that? Because it no longer contributes to his happiness. Because now he's in a state of survival, keeping those things. When those things should actually be thriving and supporting him, not the other way around.
That's true. When I was 21 years old, my family, I come from a family that just, their values are different than mine. They didn't really care about school. They were like 2, 3, 4 generations on welfare. And I said a long time ago, I did not mm-hmm. want to be part of that. I went to school, and I said mm-hmm. to myself, I am going to buy me a home. Now, at the time, I think I only was making like $27,000. I didn't have no money in the bank. But I would visualize myself. Like, I literally, it started with a thought. And then it ended up being a vision where I could see myself putting the key in the door. I couldn't tell where the door was or anything like that. But when I used to get angry or I needed some time to myself, I would pick my daughter up and we would drive in this particular neighborhood. So I fast forward a couple of years and I ended up purchasing my condo in that area, but it was a blessing, Donnie, because I didn't have money in the bank and this place was a HUD foreclosed home. I only paid $47,000 for it. My mortgage, condo fees, everything all together was $350. That's it. So one check paid for it. And here I am now. My mortgage doubled because I refinanced a couple of times, following behind some friends, mm-hmm. which didn't even benefit me. So my mortgage doubled, but it's still not as much as some of these people who live here pay $1,200, $1,300 for their condo. Mine isn't like that. And, you know, and I said to myself, I did it before, and I didn't have, there was one penny that was mm-hmm. Exchanged at the closing. Everything else, I pretty much did it. So I know I could do it. It's just setting myself up so that this transition is smooth. Because if I'm going to do that, it's going to be a downtime. Just like before now, I don't have money saved either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't want that to hold me back because I know that I could still do it anyway. It's been done before. I've done it before. You know what I mean?
That's the whole thing. I mean, we talk about the manifestation thing sometimes when you don't have a perception to go in. It's to go back to a time in your life where something went your way.
Yeah.
You know, it was a happy moment. You got exactly what you wanted. You go back and recreate that, but you take the memory itself, put it into the situation you are now as a success of having a positive outcome. Works really good.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. So therefore, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes with the situations, you got to go back over and reevaluate your manifestation stuff. I mean, I do it too. I mean, I've been in situations where a relationship didn't go the way I wanted to, but looking at them didn't give me answers, gave me more questions. not until I actually took a look at myself and started looking within myself to realize that my thinking and my former beliefs was still basically creating a situation. It wasn't as bad as it was, so I know my perception has changed, but it just got to go a couple more steps, and then we get the whole thing. Just like looking at somebody who closes off from you or doesn't want to talk to you, you got to take a look at yourself and go, okay, how does this reflect back at me about myself, about what am I not doing?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying with your situation is it's just reevaluate, go over. I mean, when I work with people and say, okay, you're going to write a list of the things that you want in the process of wants, needs, and desires, those wants and needs and desires also change because your perception changes. So there's nothing wrong with going over with them and changing them. I mean, say you have a dream or you just sit there thinking, go and you feel like you should go back and change things, then go back and change things because you know, in the process of little meditations or just focusing or downtime, we have a tendency to pick up on things that we really do want. So we change. So it's when they change those things too as well. Because I used to love that freaking analogy where I was sitting there and go, okay, a blueprint. What is a blueprint ever made? What is a blueprint ever created? Nothing. Because it's a guideline for you to create a house.
Yeah.
And the process of reading that blueprint, because people do this with astrology. You know, shall be with a tarot. I'm sorry, a Taurus. I don't know where that came from. Should I be with a Taurus or a Gemini or a Capricorn, blah, 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 blah. I said, don't you let people realize these things are maps on creating fantastic relationships because of what you know, perceptions, personalities. So it gives you insights on decisions and which way to go, what direction, how to deal with a Capricorn. But we also have taken perception with our blueprint. That is like the foundation. Okay, and then we have the rooms, and then we have more. I mean, a house is a three-dimensional thing, so are we. So being a Taurus is just a percentage of that, okay? So when you look at the situation of what you're trying to create, look at the thing also in the same format, three-dimensional. So your outcome is not to get a new job. Your outcome realistically is to be living it and living a new life.
Yeah.
So you see, the perception of the outcome is very important, too, as well. What is it really like? Well, the relationship. You know, do you really want to get back with the person? Is that the outcome? Or is it the idea of sharing your life with that person? I personally think it's the sharing life, because if you have a visualization of sharing your life with somebody, I'm pretty sure you got back together somewhere along the line, didn't you? So you don't have to worry about that part. It's the same thing with a job. If you picture yourself with your business flourishing, somewhere along the line, you had that first client that crossed your path, and it was like a chain reaction after that. So you don't have to focus on that first one. You just focus on the success that you want to live. That's the outcome. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. We got some more. What was I going to say? We have a lot of people in the queue. I just noticed. So therefore, please sit down with me from time to time. I'd love to do a private reading with you. But if you don't, please get back with us and tell us how your life is going. Love to hear from you again, okay?
Okay, thank you. Can you put me back? Can you mute me in the queue?
Yes, I can.
So that I can continue.
I can put you back. Yeah, I can put you back on hold. No problem.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you for calling in. You have a fantastic holiday, okay?
You too. Thanks.
All right. You still with us there, Juanita?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you think? We got a lot of people in the queue, so I was going to go to the next one.
Oh, really? Ocean Girl's been waiting. I didn't realize there was that many.
No, it's okay. Okay, area code 330. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Melody.
Melody, where are you calling from?
Northeastern Ohio.
From Ohio?
Yeah.
Isn't it Ohio? I'm trying to figure out these area codes out, because I want to say Sandusky, but...
Yeah, well, it used to be 216.
Oh, okay.
Does that sound familiar?
Well, I'm from Ohio. I used to live in the Columbus area.
Yeah, I am between you are Warren, Ohio.
Yeah, I know Warren, Ohio. Yeah, I know what's that.
I am just west of Warren.
Isn't that like up toward Cleveland?
Yeah. Yep. I'm about halfway between Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Okay, because I was trying to think it was actually Steubenville.
Oh, okay, that's south, I believe. South.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. So how can we help you tonight?
Well, I was just calling, nothing specific, other than I'm a little bit interested. I've just recently been inquiring and looking into spirit guides and aura colors and things like that. I'm just very interested in it. And I was calling to see if I could get any information about my spirit guides specifically today.
Hold on. This is why I need to find a co-host so they can actually do the chat room. Let's see, because we got some people here and there. Because I've done it before where people have actually come in, and my friend Kelly was in the Kelly Preston Anderson Andrews was in the chat, and I wanted to talk to her, but she was gone. She's a friend of mine. I'm not really sure where she's at in Florida, but she was in Virginia.
She just came in a few minutes ago. She wasn't in there very long.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, what? You know, crossing paths with people kind of drives me crazy sometimes, okay? So the idea of spirit guides, okay? I got you. You want some insights?
Yeah. And I understand that they're usually not, or almost never, like relatives of yours. A lot of people think that, and I know that's not true.
Not always.
Okay, no, say that last part again.
Usually they're not your relatives that have passed.
No, and also, as we saw this earlier in the show, too, I was talking about spirit guides and angels and stuff, so that's the importance of actually, a lot of people want to see them. But realistically, when you look at the situation and things like that, and it's just weird because some people just want to see them because it helps them believe, not realizing to really believe in something is to feel it.
Right.
A very strong heart connection. You know, when I look at your situation, we can give you insights on the spirit guides and that kind of stuff. I would really recommend you to get a reading with me sometime. But
okay.
The first thing that comes to me is there's five. On the average, most people have five.
You said five?
You know, I feel like, yeah, you have five spirit guides.
Wow.
You are connected. You're connected to three of them.
Is that
I've
unusual?
Actually been told that. Huh?
Is that unusual to have five?
No, like I said before, that's the average, five.
Oh, okay.
It's usually three to five. But what you usually find out is people connect with three real quick, and then there's the other two they don't. And it's been said that when you five guides, and then there's a main one, that most of them have a tendency to communicate through, which is the one you see the most as a main guide. But there can actually be four or five, and some people actually have between seven to nine.
Hmm.
It depends, too. When I say average, and people who just, you know, have come here just to learn things spiritually with themselves and not the ideal, putting themselves in a situation with a light worker. But I think everybody's a light worker on some level, you know. Because your life, when you make positive changes in your life and people see that, it reflects and it changes. And it's like you're an example. But there's other people who actually take on other things where it happens. They have more guides and stuff, and they do a lot of things. But like Sylvia Brown was always, she's always talking about the one she has. I think the Hicks were talking about the one they work with too as well. So, you know, it depends. But the very first thing I picked up with you was three.
Okay.
I want to sit there and say you have problems with mathematics.
I do.
I've never been a big
math.
Yeah, so therefore, there's a guide in the process that you don't listen to that you should listen to more of. And the idea of trying to figure it out logically.
Okay.
That makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just recently been an issue with the math. because my son is in fifth grade and I've been helping him with his homework. And he's got a lot of the same issues that I had when I was a child. And so I kind of have a a softer approach with him than my husband does. I don't get as irritated easily with him, so I tend to help him. It's been a struggle because I'll have to look things up.
Right. I'm not trying to cut you off or nothing, but I just want to tell everybody we're like down to 6 minutes. There's a lot of people in the queue. And I just want to sit there and say, if everybody just stays there and hangs tight, we will get to you. We will go over. I'm not sure how long that's going to be because, you know, Blog Talk Radio and its little situation, but we will try to get everybody in. So, just want to sit there and say that to everybody. Plus, we were talking about private readings. If you want to get a private reading with me, just give me a call at 740-500-8863 or go to the website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Check it all out. I just tell people flat out, don't get intimidated by the prices that you see on my website. You see, I do things differently here on the show as much as I do things differently on my shop. Okay? It's just to give you an idea and an outline exactly what I do get for readings and the process of what you're getting. But I also sit here and tell them, it doesn't matter what you pay for the readings, you always get 100% of what's going. And the reason I say that is because I work with people's budgets, so whatever you got, give me a call and ask. I've done readings for as low as $10, and I actually do pub readings at my shop right now, so if you're in the Colorado area, we're doing pub readings for $5. We also do angel card readings for $30 and past lives for $35, but right now we have a great special going on, too, at the shop that I was actually thinking about extending here, that you could actually get all three services for only $35. So if that's something that fits more on your budget, whatever, give it consideration, because I'd love to sit down and work with everyone and all you good people in the idea of giving you insight so you can change your lives in a very positive way. Now, with your situation, the reason I'm saying that it'd be great to get a private reading is because the idea of going over your guides could be 20 minutes for each one of them.
Okay.
But it's also the idea of getting insights on how to connect to the other two as well.
Okay.
The more you're connected to, the more you're connecting to yourself, the more you connect with your angels. There's a lot of other certain chakras you can work with that most people don't talk about, which is the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and the 8th chakra, which are actually different than the 7, which are in the body. The other ones are actually extensions of those. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you just personally would work with the chakras and then tap into your 9th chakra, this is actually tapping into your higher self and the ideal, the spiritual realm. You can actually connect with your angels and your guides even more.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody.
Excuse me, Donnie.
Huh?
Excuse me, Donnie. One thing I wanted to say to her is you have a very prominent Native American guide. Very prominent, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does. I've been told that.
Okay.
It makes perfect sense to me because she lives in Ohio, and right now the heritage there is Shawnee and Cherokee. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just thought that was really cool. That's neat. I heard you say you said three readings, and I heard you say past lives. What were the other two?
Oh, it's palm readings, angel card readings, and past life readings.
Do you do anything? With aura?
Can I what?
Do you do anything with auras?
Yes, I deal with auras all the time.
You do? Okay.
Oh yeah, if you come to my shop, I know you probably can't go to my shop because you're in Ohio. I'm just saying, if you did, I could actually tell you why you wear the clothes you do, which actually reflects the aura and how you feel about yourself.
Really?
Yeah, and if you have Skype, I could do the same thing. We could do a session on Skype. I could actually do all three of those for you for $35 and throw in the aura thing with it too as well. We could do it on freaking Skype. All I have to do is see your palm. I've done it before.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and let you get on to other callers. How can I contact you through email?
How can you what?
How can I contact you? Is it through email?
You can call me straight through if you like.
Okay. That 740 number?
Just call the 740-500-8863.
Okay.
That is my cell phone. I take that everywhere I go, so you can contact me and tell me what you want to. I've actually been in the shop, but people call me in the shop. I do readings there.
Okay, and you do? Can you do? Would you be able to do a joint reading with my daughter and I? She's 9.
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Okay. All right.
All right. Great. Well, sounds good. Thank you very much, and I'll be calling you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
You have a good night. Merry Christmas. All right. Just go on to our next caller. That would be. I'm trying to find this. Area code. Well, it's not area code. It's just a 1111111111.
Hello.
So you. Yeah. Hey, what's up? How are you? Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Oh, this is Lo.
This is who?
Hello.
Lo.
Okay. Lo.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. So how can we help you tonight?
Well, I don't know. Do you do tarot cards?
Yeah, I actually have my angel tarot.
Okay. Can you do...
What we usually do on the show is I usually do pyramids. So what we do is we have a variation. The 5 or the 7 would take at least 20 to 40 minutes. So
we come up with
so we have a 3 card, which we can do.
Okay.
And also, everybody out there who's listening right now is in the queue. I see there's 2 of you. So just stay right where you are. We'll get to you as quick as possible. Shouldn't be that long. Shouldn't be that long at all. And everybody, well, if you're in the chat room, you just got cut off. So you're probably thinking that there's some kind of technical problem. But it's not. This is how it works when we go into recording mode. So everything's still getting recording. And if there's anything on here you've picked up on that you didn't catch the whole thing, just go back in the archives and you can get it there. No problem at all. So I think we can go. I think it's been averaging out about 15 minutes. We can go over.
Okay.
We're going to do a 3 card. What I'm going to do is I'm going to shuffle the cards. Okay, when I say go, that means I'm shuffling. It's up to you to tell me when to stop.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're shuffling as we speak, so just tell me when you want to stop. Now, remember, you're not paying for this, so listen to your intuition. A lot of people don't, because I always stress people when you're paying for reading, do not sit here and think about money. Think about what you want and realize it's an investment within yourself. So, therefore, those people shuffle the cards. Because I've had people shuffle when your pain goes, stop. I'm like, okay, can I at least shuffle the first time? Because they're so fearful, you know?
Yeah.
And it just interferes with the reading. So readings work better the more relaxed you are. The less expectations you have, the better it works. Okay. Stop.
Okay. Are you ready? Hello?
I've already been shuffling.
Oh, okay. You can...
stop?
Yeah, you can stop.
Okay. I'm seeing it. I like to stress that one, guys, because, one night I did the same thing.
Let me see if
Emily
I could
forgot.
Keep up.
My freaking thumbs were sore for 2 days because she forgot I was shuffling.
Oh.
Okay, you want to cut this or do you leave it the way it is?
Yeah, go ahead and cut it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The first card is a 3 card spread, okay? So your first 3 cards out, they're actually swords cards. Okay, so what you got here is you have the Ace of Swords, the 4 of Swords, and then you have a 5 of Earth, okay? It's talking about the first 2 cards, they're sword cards. They're talking about brilliant ideals, inspiration, seeing the truth of the situation, okay? The second one is the 4 of Air. Now, this is also kind of like looking at things, but also finding time for rest, which means find time for you, because it also shows focus, it shows fear surrounding money.
It shows what now?
It shows fear surrounding money. There's like there's an uncertainty here, and there's almost like you get unnecessary worry.
Oh, he's saying you think okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. There's uncertain worry around money. But it could also, when I say money, some people say, well, I'm, you know, it's just worrying. You know, it's just based on materialistic stuff. So it's like focusing on the situation. Now, when you sit and see the sword cards are just saying there's a lot of new ideals coming in. So therefore, in the process of these new ideals coming to you, you need to let go. The only way you can let go of the old is to take some time, rest. But it's the ideal, looking at the situation of meditation, of the answers you're looking for. Meditation might actually help you better there. But it's also another way of trying to help you connect with yourself. So, that's your first three cards. So, when you look at the foundation, basically the source cards are actually saying to you that you need to cut loose fears that actually work against you. The ideal of, if there's issues about money.
Are you saying fears, F-I-E-R-C-E?
Yeah, fears.
Okay, because I wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah, because it says fear. There's fear around money. But when you sort of look at the situation, the fear itself is the ideal, focusing too much money and thinking it's a solution, when the solution realistically is within you.
Yeah.
Because then the second, the two cards are on top of those cards, talks about, it's the Page of Water, which is the Page of Cups, and the Six of Earth. Now, the Six of Earth actually shows the process of letting go. You're opening the door to a lot more prosperity than the idea. The worrying is just, you know, there's just a worrying that's just creating uncertainty, okay? Because the Six of Earth basically says new opportunities career-wise. It also shows gifts of money, time, and effort. So it's showing that by opening up, there's going to be opportunities to you. They're going to be coming to you that actually will solve a situation. But this Page of Water, the Page of Cups is talking about relationships wise. And I'm focused, is there a relationship that needs attended to in that you're in?
Not really, but I may understand what that is saying. Not really, though. I don't even want to get into that one.
Well, the thing I see here, when it talks about, in association with the Six of Earth, it talks about money. It also talks about, you know, basically when we talk about the Page of Water is actually on the two sword cards. So you see a lot of things that you need to X out of your life in favor, a lot of things where it will be, this is more leaning toward a relationship with you, with yourself.
Okay.
And then the final card, anybody have a drum roll? Anyway. It's talking about the Queen of Swords. And what's your birthday?
November the 1st.
November the 1st. That's a Scorpio, right?
Yes.
Scorpio is a water sign, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I still see the air, and the Queen of Air is you. Independent, experienced, realistic, and witty. Because it's talking about objective decision-making and the idea of what is really contributing to you and your happiness. Because it's like looking at the situation and seeing the humor in it. It's like looking at a guy who hurt you, but then really seeing the humor of it, of what you saw and what you knew before you even went into it. It's like, for example, I did this before where I was like, I walked across this piece of ice. Now, the visualization was good. I thought for sure I was going to make it across. And I didn't. I actually saw my feet before I hit the ground. But instead of getting angry and upset and just feeding into it, what I did was I just saw another visualization of me doing something that I knew I should have done.
Right.
And laughing about it and saying, well, next time that happens, okay, this was a good laugh. And laughing really helps you to see the thing for what it really was and also trace it back to the person who made the decision to go there. And when you make that realization, you're going, okay, since that's the case, then all the decisions I've ever made in my life, good or bad, I made. So So this is like a realization and a place to start to say, okay, if that's the case, then I realistically can create my own reality.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, do it.
So,
because it says right here, clearing away all that no longer serves you.
Clearing away all that what now? No longer serves me?
It says clearing away all that no longer serves you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you look at situations and jobs, if it gets to the point where all it's doing is paying bills,
yeah,
it's not serving you. Because the process of people, it was a funny thing I told someone before, when you get paid, I want you to go out and do something for yourself. Paying the rent is doing something for you.
Yeah.
You're actually doing something for your landlord.
Right.
It's what you do.
Right.
Yeah, so you go out. I don't care. It could be something. It's something that, it's like every week, do something that you haven't done in a while. Even if it's just the idea of going out and buying a piece of fudge.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying at that moment is, I am deserving.
Is this saying that, that I haven't really been taking care of myself, but taking care of others, making sure that others are
yeah, because that's what the page of water is talking about, the page of cups.
Yeah.
It's a message.
Okay.
Because that's why I was sitting here looking at it. That's why I asked you the question about
could
relationship in your life that you really didn't want to talk about. So when you look at the situation.
Could it be with the job, though? I'm just kind of, I think maybe it could be referring to my job, though.
No.
I don't know.
Everything in your life is a manifestation that you created. And when I look at this situation, it talks about the idea of a relationship that begins a new phase. That's a relationship with yourself and the idea of realization. To realize that your job is not your support.
Okay.
Nothing. No person, no place, no condition, nothing. It's your support. It's the idea of tracing it back to the source. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And realizing that whole situation, because people have to see, when you start realizing, and I've seen this before with people where they sit there and go, okay,
mm-hmm.
they might not say God, but they do admit that there's something higher up in the process of their support.
Yay.
When you do that, you're not going to be one of those people who's going to plow his truck into a freaking coffee place and shoot everybody because you lost your job and thinking your life is over, not realizing your life is not over because here you are breathing, but now you're in prison.
Yeah.
It was like, a person looks for a person fed into the fear. And some
mm-hmm.
people, when they feed into fears, this is a drastic thing that we get. And then, but people who don't, who start realizing there's a higher source, but also realizing who they are
mm-hmm.
in the process of the creator of their life, their boss, their job, no longer are in control of them.
Hmm.
Okay, and that realization, they realize it. Any kind of thing that comes up even in the cards, they start realizing it's reflecting them and what they need to change within themselves also changes your outer world too as well. And that's what I meant when it said a relationship begins a new phase. In the process of your realizations, your relationship with yourself takes on a different light. And the idea of getting to the part of realizing that the more you love yourself unconditionally, the more good things you attract to yourself, and also the realizations, the things around you that no longer contribute to that. It's kind of hard for people right now, too, saying, okay, I need a job. If you're in a state of mind that says you need anything, then you need to rethink it and reevaluate it and take a step away. Because what it's doing is controlling you. And everybody says they want to sit there and take the power back, but they still kind of have it, they still give the job, the power, or the money.
Yeah.
It's the idea of looking at you. It's like realization, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Take a $5 bill, put it on the table. It's not going to do nothing until you pick it up. Why are you giving all your power to that piece of paper? Same thing with your job. If you don't show up at your job, if you don't go to your job, it doesn't benefit you one way or the other. It's only when you actually show up and you put your effort and your intentions into that job or whatever of when it actually benefits you. But if it gets to the point right now that you're actually thinking that if something changes with the job and that kind of stuff, your life will change, you got it backwards. You got to focus within yourself. That's where the changes have got to start before you get any kind of changes in your life and your job. If you want to keep your job, I would sit there and say, I would go home. I would sit there. Well, I'm pretty sure you're at home. I'm just saying I would sit down and write out a definition of your job. You know, what you want to see the changes. If there were certain changes that could happen with personnel, people, situations, environment. If all these things change, what would those changes be? And how would it reflect the outcome? And that's the visualization you focus on. If you want a different kind of job, it's the ideal coming to that realization. Yeah, it's time to go. Okay, God and angels. And this is easy too. Just sit down and write that little, get that little pad and pencil, and start writing things. You know, what do I love to do? That I could, if I could turn it into a business, what would it be? And then start writing it down on how you could do that. And don't be surprised if you don't come up with some ways and some things that you really love that you could actually turn into a business. Now let's sit there and take it to the next step and allow it to happen. Don't sit there and say, well, I have no money. Because realistically, when it comes to businesses out there, the ones that are actually lucrative and prosperous and that kind of stuff, it was opportunity, not money. And you can also have the opportunities to attract money. So it's the idea of these realizations of changing that. This is what I was saying here when I was talking about clearing away all things that no longer serve you, but also the objective decision-making about what you really want.
Right. Okay.
And desire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking. I want to get to these other people real quickly, but please, we're going to be on tomorrow. What is tomorrow, Saturday? We'll be on tomorrow.
No,
ATM.
Friday.
Thursday, yeah.
Okay, we'll be here Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
We'll be here tomorrow, but we'll be here Friday and Saturday, I promise you. Sorry.
Oh, okay. What's the phone number that you gave out, that 704? 704-